Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Right step in the wrong world.
And I need you.
more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Tracy and friends, in conjunction with the local area partners, will be continuing to collect non-perishable items and new blankets at the Mahoning County Republican Headquarters, located at 621 Boardman Canfield Road, from now to November 15th. Drop off your non-perishable items from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. weekends for the victims of Sandy. For more information, please call 330-629-7006.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. Today is the 15th. of November 2012. Hope you're having a good day today. Today is Wednesday. Today's Thursday. Wow. Thursday, and 7 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. And today, I'm going to talk about Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, them calling President Obama a Republican in blackface. I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to talk about comments of the Romney campaign that the reason why President Obama won was because he gave out gifts and he gave out special, you know, he came out at, or let me say that a part of the Dream Act to Latinos. He gave some promises out and did some things, and that's how he won that. And we didn't do that as Republicans. And so I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about race in depth, and it's going to be a hard conversation as we go through this. And so I'm looking for you to call in. The number is 347-945-5229. When I say that, it's going to be a difficult because I'm going to say some things that are a little bit harsh. And you may or may not agree with me, but, you know, it's okay. I'm going to tell you what my observations are when it comes to marketing. I'm going to tell you what my observations are on how we deal with race in America. I'm going to talk about what is the issues at hand, and I'm going to be a little bit hard on the both Republican and Democrat Party, and I'm going to educate you on it really doesn't make a difference between the two, because both of them truly are, in many ways, they mirror each other. They just have different roads that they go to get to their destination. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to talk about the demonization of what happens when you go against the president, but I'm going to start off, and I think I'm going to start off. I'm going to try to take this extremely slow, because as I said, I'm going to say some things that are a little bit harsh on both sides. Let's start with Governor Romney's comments, A friend of mine called me this morning and said, Tracy, are the Republicans just out of their mind? He said, the more I try to become, independent of the Democrat Party and to take up for them, the more dumb things that they say out of their mouth. And I said, you know, I know. And I feel like Governor Christie, people get mad at the governor, but, you know, sometimes you just got to tell the truth the way it is. And they do say, y'all, Republicans, I love you, but y'all say some dumb stuff, just dumb. And when you say it, you don't realize what you said and how you said it and how it brings up old wounds and infuriates people. And so it comes off as, and I will say this, it doesn't come off as racist to me, but it can be implied as racist to others. If you don't know the European conversation, and this is something that American European mainstream white folks have to understand. Just because I speak the English language does not mean we say the same thing the same way. So you can say something that can be very that will not mean any harm to you, but you can say it to someone and it can spur a fight. And I'm going to I want you guys to call in and help me with this. Those of you who are out there, if you call a black woman sunshine, you can get cussed out. You got to know there's a history to it. And if you don't know there's a history to it, you need to find out from someone what the history is. And, you know, some people just ignore it. They just take it as ignorance. You don't know any better. But you have to realize it has a very, very disrespectful connotation that goes with it because of where it came from. The number is 347-945-5229. When I tell people, you know, the birth certificate, and they get mad at me, he might not be a native-born American. But if you wanted to bring that up, you should have brought that up when he was running for office the first time. Continuing to fight this fight and think that you're going to win this fight now as president of the free world, it looks as though you're just biting at the chip. You're just going after stuff, and you're just biting stuff from the air, and it doesn't make sense. And that's how it looks to everyone. You know, if you want people to be a part of your party and or of what you're doing, then you need to find out what their needs are. And it's just called marketing 101. You know, it's kind of hard to market ice cubes to an Eskimo. And so why would you go to Alaska, try to market an ice cube to an Eskimo if he's already surrounded by ice? You do better by going there and saying, listen, would you like a heater or some hand warmers? And what the Republican Party has done in the past, they don't go and ask people before they say stuff. They just get up and say it, and they say it tongue-in-cheek, and they think it's okay, and it comes off very, very cruel and very, very racist. And there's nothing that those of us who are a part of the Republican Party can come back to say to defend you, because it's like, dude, some things are just, you can't say it that way, even if you're telling the truth. You could be completely right. And I will say this, there's a lot of things that Mitt Romney said that were 100% right, but they came off 100% wrong. And there was no way that you could actually defend his comments based upon how he said what he said. I will say this, the entitlement process that we have going on here in America is going to kill Americans. It really, really is. But Americans, and let me say this, and poor people, poor African Americans, people who are underserved, they need to understand that this is going to happen. And we cannot continue doing this way. But no one is saying it into a way they can actually hear it. And they don't come and ask anybody. If they do, I would like to know. And if anybody knows, I'm just being openly, candidly honest with this. I'd like to know of the $1 billion that was spent on the Republican side, did they have any Latinos and African Americans sitting at the table as advisors to them? I'd like to know that. Because if you have a good speechwriter would tell you, you can't say it that way. That's what they're there for. And you pay them for their brain. Some people will do it for free. All you had to do was ask. But if you don't ask, you won't get the answers. And you go on television and you say something. And I see them doing this yesterday. And that's how this came about. Yesterday, I guess they went after Susan Rice, who was the ambassador. And when they went after her, President Obama took offense to it and went after John McCain and anyone else that got in his way. And you have to understand what he said and what he was saying when he said it and how he's setting Republicans up today. He's setting Republicans up today to lose at this fiscal cliff. And he is playing a game with you, and I don't even think you realize that he set you up yesterday. And if you don't have someone around you that can show you how he is getting ready to set you up, I promise you, come December 31st, you will be eating crow, because he's getting ready to demonize the Republican Party all over again, because they've already started working on the gubernatorial elections that are coming in 2 years. And I'm saying this out loud because nobody asked me in quiet. So since no one has asked me in quiet, I'm going to say it up front. I am very, very concerned because I believe that there are some people who are running for office for governor that should not be there. They do not have the best interest of the populace at heart. But now that they've learned how to pull the triggers of the American electorate and they've learned how to go after you, they're getting ready to cut your throat, and you're going to give them everything that they need to make it happen. And if you don't wake up and smell the coffee and ask somebody about how they're getting ready to shoot you with your own gun, because President Obama set you up yesterday for December 31st. And we don't even know if he's going to appoint and or nominate Susan Rice for the Secretary of State. But what he has done is he's paved the way that if you do and if you go after her, it will look as though you are going after a young African-American smart woman who is a Rhodes Scholar. And they are going to cut your throat. And as going back to what I was saying about Governor Romney, Governor Romney, he may have said it right. He may have said the right thing, but he definitely said it definitely wrong. And because he said it wrong, he came back as he was demonized by the press, the media, because there's a better way to skin the cat and there's a better way to say something. There's a better way to say 47%. Even if you're in a fundraiser, if you know that everybody's watching what you say, and you need to know that not everyone is your friend. I'm also going to say we have not been taught that African Americans are smart. And because white people are not taught that African Americans are smart, and I'm saying that, you know, and I'm not saying if the shoe does not fit, then don't wear it. But you have not been taught that African Americans can be brilliant. And because you were not taught that, that we have in our culture, we have been put up there and we have made to be look inferior to white America. Not only have we bought into it, but so has white America bought into that African Americans are inferior when it comes to intellect. I want you to understand, we might be inferior in not much of anything, but we're smarter than what you think. And if you keep on looking at people based upon the color of their skin on and putting their intellect with it, you're going to lose. Because, yes, there are many that can be manipulated, and I see it every day. And they're manipulated because they don't realize how bright they are. But there's a whole bunch of them out there that they're really, really smart. And that's because our media system, we have educated people to believe that African Americans are inferior to white Americans. We sing, we dance, but, you know, you've heard it before and they've said it. We are not supposed to be quarterbacks because we don't have the intellect to become that. And if I'm wrong, y'all call me in and tell me I'm wrong, because I'll say, okay, maybe I am wrong. But you got to understand how we've done this. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you, because I'm going to touch this subject because I think it is very, very important that we do it. Because if we don't do it, we're going to lose. And America is – I'm watching them manipulate the American public. And I do not want to see a democracy that is all one way and we lose. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A Poland woman has pleaded guilty in connection with a crash last July that took the life of a New Middletown man and injured six other people, including three children. 22-year-old Michelle Green pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of attempted aggravated vehicular homicide. She faces 6 to 18 months in jail. A Lisbon man was arrested yesterday for allegedly robbing a bank in Portland, Maine. Federal prosecutors say 38-year-old Richard Gooding was arrested at his apartment. They say he took a bus to Portland earlier this week and jumped on a returning bus shortly after the bank robbery. And the Jackson High School basketball coach faces charges that he hid cameras in a locker room and videotaped nude boys. 46-year-old Scott Studer faces multiple felony counts. Authorities say they found images of nude boys on a DVD, a laptop computer, and a flash drive at his home. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Your station a bit fuzzy? Away on vacation and you don't want to miss your morning show? Well, you can bring them with you everywhere you go. iHeartRadio, the best of live radio. Go to iHeartRadio.com now or download the free app on your mobile phone or tablet.
Listen to Rock 104 at iHeartRadio.com.
Tracy and friends, in conjunction with the local area partners, will be continuing to collect non-perishable items and new blankets at the Mahoning County Republican Headquarters, located at 621 Boardman Canfield Road, from now to November 15th. Drop off your non-perishable items from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. weekends for the victims of Sandy. For more information, please call 330-629-7006.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Have you guys ever had a computer that just won't act right for love nor money? I just thought I'd throw that out there because my mouth does not want to act right, and it keeps on doing whatever it wants to do, and I'm really having some issues. See, that's what happens when I start talking about a deep, serious issue that will change lives. But I'm not going to stop. So the number again is 347-945-5229, and I do want to hear from you today because I think this topic is very, very important to us moving forward and us getting along and us getting some things done. 724, your mic is on. 724? Oh, you're listening in. So as I was saying, please hit the one button if you want to talk to me. It is imperative because I look at what's going on here, and, you know, President Obama's policies are really bad for America, in my opinion, and I mean that. And I believe that Republicans have solutions to some of these problems, but they're getting thrown into a game right now that I don't think they really know that they're getting thrown into. And because they don't have anyone to tell them that they're getting thrown into it, they're getting ready to get brutally beaten up. And a lot of people are going to get hurt because of their arrogance. You know, I say this again, even when it comes to women's issues, they need to make sure that they have women that are advisors of power inside of their campaign, inside of their caucus, that just sit there and let them, and that are almost like think tanks, so that they will have someone to bounce ideas off of. Bill was on Facebook, and he said, you know, like the word cracker. I don't know why people call people crackers. I don't think it's a good idea, so I don't do it. But I do know that it's not good that we do it. And President Obama, you know, and Bill just put in there, he said, you know, he has seen defense. But again, his offense is put us on the defense, and we don't know that we just got sucked into on yesterday because of Senator McCain's comments. We got sucked into something that gave the president entirely too much power, and he is playing people, and you don't know that you're getting ready to get played. And I don't think you really know how to work your way around this. And instead of us asking people, well, what do I do next, because I may not know what's being said right now, our arrogance keeps us in the dark. And I got problems, and we're going to have problems because they are not right. Last night I watched them have Elijah Cummings and all these guys out there, all these black congressmen out there from the Congressional Black Caucus, the ones that have no power. Any other time, they don't allow them to come to the well and talk like we want to, because you don't understand that you just don't come and get on television when you want to. You have to be invited. And I watched them last night. I watched them ripped into some people last night, and they could say things that nobody else could say, and they ripped into a whole bunch of folks. Do we not understand that we are getting ourselves into a situation that is not good? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I really want to have this discussion openly and honestly, and nobody wants to talk to me today because they think because it's too touchy. But see, that's what's wrong with America. We don't want to talk about the elephant in the room, and the elephants get ready to tear up everybody in all the states. When you look at these states are talking about that they want to descend from the union, it's not about the race of African Americans. It's not a race. It's not about President Obama being black, even though he is an African American and it didn't come up too much until he got there. But it's truly about the laws and the policies that he represents. But because he is a black man, people think that people want to descend from the union because he's black. And that's not true. That's not true at all. People feel as though that their freedoms are going to be taken away because of the socialist ideas of President Obama. But because we have someone carrying the water and you don't know how to talk back to him or to clearly articulate your position, we are in a position where people look like they are going after him because of the color of his skin. And that's not true. Now, are there some ignorant people out there? Absolutely. But they're on both sides still. They're on both sides. And I really don't want people to get caught up in the, because they're getting ready to work you over. Both they're going to work both black and white, poor and rich, because the policies are going to be non-beneficial to the American electorate. And they're going to the elites of this country are getting ready to put you in a situation that you don't want to be in. And President Obama is going to lead the way. And we don't know how to articulate it to where you can actually hear or see what's coming at you. And that is a bad situation to be in. It really, really is. And as I look at this, I'm watching I'm going to play this clip with Tavis Smiley and with Cornel West. You know, I agree with some of the things that they have to say, but I don't think that he's a Rockefeller Republican. But you got to understand that he's not doing anything for the American electorate, and we can't get people to understand that programs are great, but if you can't pay for them, they're bad. So check this out and tell me what you think. The number is 347-945-5229.
President's city. In fact, he just flew out on Wednesday after his reelection. Cornel West, the figures. Who is ahead? Who isn't? As your book and is titled "The Rich and the Rest of Us."
Well, one, I think that it's morally obscene and spiritually profane to spend $6 billion on an election, $2 billion on a presidential election, and not have any serious discussion. Poverty, trade unions being pushed against the wall, dealing with stagnating and declining wages when profits are still up and the 1% are doing very well. No talk about drones dropping bombs on innocent people. So we end up with such a narrow, truncated political discourse as the major problems, ecological catastrophe, climate change, global warming. So it's very sad. I mean, I'm glad there was not a right-wing takeover. But we end up with a Republican, a Rockefeller Republican in blackface with Barack Obama. So that our struggle in regard to poverty intensifies.
That's a pretty rough assessment of President Obama.
Oh, that's what we have. That's what we have. Richard Nixon is to the left of him on care. Richard Nixon is to the left of him on guaranteed income. And the same policies in terms of imperial foreign policy is at work. And so I was glad to see that Romney didn't win. We pushed back a right-wing takeover. We've got a right-wing mentality, cut, 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 austerity, austerity, austerity. Where is the serious talk about investment and jobs, fighting the privatizing of education, and the empowerment of trade unions? And so our battle is just beginning. We have yet to take off the gloves. Yeah, we've been fighting intensely.
President Obama.
Okay.
I don't know. Tavis is being very kind because he's right. I love Brother Mike Dyson, too. But we're living in a society where everybody's up for sale. Everything's up for sale. And he and Brother Sharpton and Sister Melissa and others, they have sold their souls for a mess of Obama pottage. And we invite them back to the black prophetic tradition after Obama leaves. But at the moment, they want insider access, and they want to tell those kind of lies. They want to turn their back to poor and working people.
Well,
and it's a sad thing to see them as apologists for the Obama administration in that way, given the kind of critical background that all of them have had at some point.
Michael Eric Dyson isn't saying that Obama is.
Hey, I'm back. I want to hear what you have to say. 774, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. Bill here.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, well, where to start, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you brought up that I mentioned the word cracker. And
yes.
The important thing about it is when someone says it as an epithet, as an insult, its origin comes from whip cracker. Without me doing or saying anything, somebody can call me that. And what it means to me is, I hate you. I haven't said or done anything. I've just been called this name. But because I hate you, anything you do to me, to include right up to killing me and possibly killing me, is justified to protect yourself. It's a frightening word when people use it. And I don't know if you remember, but the one gentleman from the New Black Panther, when he went on one of his angry screeds, just, you know, he said, "I hate the cracker. I hate every iota. I got to kill cracker babies." He's not calling them saltines, corn crackers, knuckle crackers. He means these people deserve to die, because even if they're babies, they hate him.
I believe that.
You understand how powerful that word is?
I do. I
and
do.
It feeds the racism. It feeds, makes it stronger and healthier and makes it into the monster that can't be killed because we don't look at the word. Maybe a couple weeks ago when Ben and Jeff were with you, Ben pointed that out, used the same thing, and Jeff brushed it off by saying, "Who told you that? A white person?" Probably because the person who says it to be cruel doesn't want you to know that he's cruel. I've said it before, you know, by hating the person you called a hater, do you think your sin of hate will be absolved by God?
But hurt people hurt people. And what I'm saying is, what's going on here, I'm watching them, they're manipulating race right now that's going to destroy America because we will not have an open conversation. And I watched this upcoming, this past election.
Right, and let's have the open conversation.
And I'm watching this conversation not being played out. You know, it makes no sense for Governor Romney or any other Republican to say is some of the dumbest things that they're saying right now, and they have said, with as many African-American Republicans as they have at their access.
Right.
I will bet you a cup of coffee that Romney did not have three black people as advisors.
But they would. He probably asked for them, but they
No, he didn't.
I know you were there, and I know you asked that question. But
no, he didn't.
You don't know the setup that he tried. But he tried to get women.
No. What I said was he did not have them as advisors.
Right.
I'm talking about a part of his campaign. People that actually advised him, he did not.
Go on.
Because he didn't feel as though he needed them.
No, he felt he needed them. They couldn't join him because they were being vilified.
Well, come on.
Look at what they did. Look what they did to Herman Cain.
No.
You know that entire controversy is bogus. Why
Bill?
Do I know it? 100%. Well, listen to me, please. 100% bogus because it dissolved. If it were true, the man would be in jail or sued or poor or he wouldn't have his job as a radio host now.
Bill.
He would not exist.
Bill.
You mean to tell me that
Governor Romney could not go out and find a group of advisors to talk to him about communication when it came to race in America as he ran his campaign?
He probably
is that what
did,
you're telling me?
I'm telling you right out. I'm sorry, there is no evidence on it because the evidence has been washed away.
No, it ain't been washed away. I'm telling you from experience.
Okay.
When you go down to Columbus and they know who you are, and they never call you and say, "Listen, can we say it this way?" Sometimes you don't know because you don't ask, and the reason why you don't ask is because you don't want to know.
Well, it may not be that he doesn't want to know, but it may also be that when the things he says are innocent and then they get turned into something evil. Because
they're carefully edited
or lifted out.
But no, you can't say some things you just cannot say. I mean, look at what's going on right now. Listen to what I mean. I understand that he's mad because he lost. I've lost a campaign.
Okay.
A campaign that you think that you should win, and you know that you're the best person for the job, and people throw you away. It is a hurting thing.
Of course,
it truly is. And I can understand it, but there's some things right now that they're saying, they're setting themselves up to lose the upcoming gubernatorial election because they're going to paint all governors inside of that.
Okay. Are they being cruel or are they being frank?
Neither. They're not being cruel. They're not being frank. They're being ignorant. You cannot call a woman. You can't come out and talk about a woman's reproductive rights the way that they did and use rape in the way that they did. I don't care how ignorant it is. You just can't do that.
But no, it's not them. It's the individuals.
No. It's
the Murdoch situation with the rape. No, with the rape situation, he quoted an author.
I don't care what he quoted. I don't care what you quote. Just because I read it doesn't mean I can quote it. Especially when you're running for office.
So what can and can't we quote from now on?
When you're running for office, your words, everybody's going to hang on your words, no matter what's being said.
Exactly.
Everybody. So you need to be careful what you say. And if you don't know that you don't need to be careful what you say, then you need to shut up and not run. But when you talk about rape and you actually try to legit, even if it is 100% right, you ought to know, you ought to be smart enough to know you can't say it out loud.
Well, he shouldn't, I agree, he shouldn't have said it.
So how do you think it ties to the whole campaign? And he, that's just dumb. And that comes from not having people around him to tell him, don't say that. I've got people, I've got friends, and they are you people. They you people, everybody. But when you go in a group of black folks, you better not say you people if you're a white man. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do, and I don't use that term unless I'm talking to a group and I'm trying to address them as a group of individuals. However, someone will invariably say, what do you mean by that? And I have to explain that I'm talking to a group of individuals.
Do you know that if you go into a room of black people, if you say you people, you can get your you people hurt feelings hurt? How
really?
Did you learn it?
You mean like the time I was chased by a mob for being the wrong color in the wrong place? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm talking about if you go into a room of professionals.
You people are trying to hurt me?
No, if you go into a room of professionals. And I'm talking about professional African Americans. If you go inside there and you, as a white person, come in and say "you people," everything you say past that, I don't care what you say, they're going to turn you off. Do you know that?
Exactly. Yes.
How do you know that?
Because they're racist. Because
that's
they're racist.
Not being racist.
No, listen to me. Let me explain it, please. Racism is a function of power as defined in the 1980s. If you're in a room full of people who look like you and a person who doesn't look like you addresses you and uses the term you don't like, you use the power of the group to single that guy out as having said something inappropriate. However, the person who spoke just before him said the exact same phrase in the exact same context, and he said nothing was said about it. That's racism in the individual sense.
That's what, Bill, I love you. But that's what infuriates me about white men.
Really?
Yes, because when I try to tell you, come straight out and tell you, it's not racism on my part. It brings up feelings of my past.
Yes, it does. And maybe it's this way.
And when I say it to you, if you tell me that I should not call a white person a cracker, and just like I have friends, and they tell me, Tracy, when you say Arab, it's offensive to Arabs.
Yes.
I make sure that I don't say Arab because I don't want to be offensive to someone. So when I say
and
this to somebody,
that's what I do as well.
But again, we need to hear what other people are saying. But what I'm saying is, you've got people. You can't come out there and talk about women's reproductive rights and be ignorant when you talk about them.
Okay, here's one for you, and I brought it up on Facebook. I don't know if you read it or not, but if this is looking like a debt that can never be paid. So
it's
if
not
it can
a
never
debt that
be
can't
paid,
be paid. It keeps coming up.
No, that's not my point. It's not that you're saying a debt. It's that no matter what I do or say, there is a phrase that I will use in a conversation that after that phrase is spoken, everything I say from before, after, it may even have been from the time I was born until I die, because I use that phrase, my entire value as an individual is zero. I've given all of myself, my whole life, but because I said this phrase that was defined by someone else as inappropriate, my work has no value.
You're missing the point.
My work has no value. What?
Hold on.
No, this
hold
is
on.
This is the frank conversation we're not having.
No, but the thing is, you're not. I have to know. Remember, as ignorant as you are about me, I'm as ignorant as you as I am about you. You have to understand that.
I don't know. I grew up in a black neighborhood. How about you?
No. I grew up in Hubbard. Ain't nothing black in Hubbard but tar.
Exactly.
So
now,
I grew up in a European. Hold on. I grew up in a European society. Now you can't tell me that Hubbard is not a racist community. You can't tell me Hubbard is not a prejudiced community. And I know the difference between racist, prejudice, and ignorance. Pardon me?
A lot of communities are exactly like that. And I don't agree with those communities. And
it's not about agreeing with the community. It's not about agreeing with them. Everybody there is not a racist. But the community at large, they make you that way because they don't want immigration. So what
they
do is
they
indoctrinate you. They indoctrinate you to think a certain way about certain people based upon the color of their skin, which makes you ignorant.
Right. That's the liberal media again.
Not liberal media. I'm talking about just going into the school and I go down to the grocery store and it's because you're white, you can't speak, even though we're classmates.
Okay. You were talking about drugs earlier. Not today, but earlier on. And it kept coming up in the conversation that this was somehow culturally acceptable.
What's that?
Taking drugs in the African-American community.
No, not taking drugs. We're talking about, we call it recreational marijuana. It ain't recreational.
That's
it's a drug.
Taking drugs. It's a gateway drug. I'm sorry. If you don't want to believe it, using it's too bad. But the point is, you were making it acceptable. Now,
I was making it. Hold on, Bill. I ain't never made it acceptable. Don't go there.
No. Not you. Perhaps the people in the conversation. But what was happening, what I was listening to, was little jokes, little remarks, instead of saying this is a stupid behavior and it's making us look bad, it was brushed aside as it's just recreation.
Not in my show, it wasn't. No, hold on, Bill. That's not true. Not in this show, it doesn't. We ain't never played down. It's just something that you just do on the side.
I can only remark what I hear.
I know, so I'm telling you, you heard it wrong. Because everybody that comes in here that sits in my box.
I mean, as the liberal media, and I'm trying to use your conversation as an example. What they do is recreational drugs are okay. Recreational drugs are stupid. Gangs and crimes are stupid. No, I'm told they're part of culture. I have to accept it.
Who told you that?
Intimidating the smart black kid in your school, or intimidating any kid in your school, is okay. Why? Because that's culturally acceptable. If I point out the stupid person for being stupid, if I point the stupid person for being stupid, I'm called evil.
Bill, who told you that?
I'm watching it every day. I grew up in it.
But Bill, but you're watching it every day where?
In my life growing up.
Where?
I remember.
Where did you grow up?
For the good care of my youth, in an interracial or in
where did you grow up?
Downtown Steubenville.
Then Steubenville has never been all black.
I didn't say it was all black. I said interracially mixed, predominantly black.
724, your mic is on.
Downtown Steubenville.
Yes.
Steubenville is not predominantly black. That's false.
I'm saying. I ain't never seen Steubenville be black.
It's not. Now, in
you weren't there at Grant High School. Junior high school.
Where?
You were never at Grant Junior High School. In the 70s and 80s.
And it was predominantly black?
In Grant High School, or Grant Junior High School, was predominantly black. And the school I went to was right across town, but my dad wanted me to go to Catholic school, and I had to walk right by it, and I was intimidated and mobbed weekly.
And let me ask you this. Why?
Because I didn't look like them.
So let me ask you this. But you're in your 40s, am I correct?
Yes, I am.
And we're talking about the time during integration, am I correct?
What time? I'm sorry?
You're talking about the time of integration.
About the 1970s and 80s.
That's correct. So you were talking about a time of integration during the 70s.
Okay.
Right then, it was peer pressure on both sides of the fence.
Okay.
We need to understand that. But right now, our ignorance, our history is making for our ignorance today.
But our ignorance.
Because
our
my
ignorance
question is, were you taught, were, hold on, were you taught that you were better than black people?
No.
Were you taught that they were inferior to the brilliance of black people?
No. When I was in the Army.
You mean to tell me you grew up thinking that black men were your equal?
Yes.
Well, you're one of the few. Go ahead, Larry.
No, I'm normal. The people who are racist are abnormal. The people who get up every day and go to work. When the guy in the Army would say the N-word about so-and-so officer or NCO over us, that guy was firmly ostracized for saying something so remarkably stupid.
But that didn't always work that way.
Management on the NCOs, say again?
Right. Bob, listen to this. There were black jokes being told, and white people didn't say anything because they didn't want to be ostracized.
No.
What do you mean no?
Black jokes being told by black jokers.
No, I'm talking about there are jokes that are told in white circles, and they don't tell them in black circles, and they don't want to be ostracized even if they're embarrassed by them. That happens still today. Go ahead, Alex. Your mic is on also.
I shake my head, or I tell the guy all the time.
Go ahead, Alex.
Good afternoon, Tracy. I just called in to comment on that. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right? I wanted to clear up some of the confusion around the term cracker. You know, because I got really irritated when your caller said, "Well, when I hear the term, this guy hates me." But you know, the term "cracker" comes. It means is the person that cracked the whip. And so, usually what it means is like, you know, when white people say, when Europeans say, "Oh, you're playing the race card," well, you know, stop playing the master card. And that's where it comes in. What that person is trying to tell you is, stop trying to assert authority over me just because of your skin color. And that's what the term cracker means. I think that people think that it's a derogatory term, like the N-word or something like that. It's actually not derogatory at all, but it's to connote the type of character or the type of behavior that a person is trying to display or trying to perpetuate. And so I just wanted to clear that up about exactly what the term cracker means. Now, sometimes, you know, I don't use the term because, just in general, I try not to because it ushers an emotive response in people, both black and white. So, because most people are uneducated about its origin, but the use of the word, especially white people, they think that you're calling them a white version of the N word, and it's just not true. But if you took the time to understand what the term meant, then you would do some self-reflection on the type of behavior that you're exhibiting at that moment. Because typically what that means, if that comes out, is I don't like you trying to assert authority over me. And that's where the term comes from. and it's not something that's meant to be disparaging, but to as a mnemonic to say, you know, you need to check yourself. That's the purpose of the word.
Okay. Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So if we have an issue where a person is going to be considered I'm taking a superior, an elite, or a authoritative role when I'm not.
But you
How am I not to be demeaned by that word when you're telling me that I am taking a superior position when all I'm doing is walking into a room?
But see, most things are not happening when you walk into a room. You have to understand.
No, hold on.
You may have had some bad experiences when you were growing up. But right now, if a white person walks into a room full of black people, more than likely, unless you're walking into a new Black Panther Party movement, you're going to be very, very welcomed.
I know
that's
that
real
because I have, and I do that regularly.
Absolutely, but
perfect.
I'm trying to talk frankly about a conversation that, for some reason, this elephant that it's being fed and made bigger and stronger into a monster is being ignored. I was told just now that when I hear the word cracker, I'm supposed to be self-reflective.
Listen to this. That's where we have to understand what you hear and what is being meant by it. So now we understand what you hear, and you need to know what's being meant by it when it's being said. Not because it doesn't make it right, it doesn't make it wrong, it doesn't make it anyway, it makes it what it is. And the conversation needs to be what it is. But then you need to know that when you call me sunshine, you may mean that I'm a beautiful person walking into a room, but what it means is you ought to be able to take me and sexually abuse me because I make your sun shine. You understand that?
Yes, I do, and I've read up on it to attempt.
But
to
we ain't talking about what people read in books. We're talking about how people feel.
Right, because when you didn't explain it before, I had to look it up.
But again, this is not about how people read. It's about how people feel. And people need to know there's a difference between what you read in a book and what it comes back when you say it out loud.
Tracy.
Right.
This is Alabama.
Alabama.
You know, I was calling about Cornel West.
Yeah.
But the gentleman you have on the phone is an interesting situation because it seems to me that, you know, it's almost as though he's calling all these things out about blacks and saying they got this problem, right? But then he fails to realize that blacks, you know, legally have been had a lot of things done to them for hundreds of years, right? And so now it's almost like if I took him, beat him, put him in prison, let him get raped by a lot of guys, put him out, beat him, and then tell him, hey, be normal. You can't expect black people, and I'm not saying to have brains or have sense, but you can't expect them to not have some sort of resentment, even though I think there are other real ways to channel that anger and resentment instead of just, you know, racism. But I do think I see why. I can understand why a person feels the way they feel. And when they hear you try not to understand, all they hear is racism. That's all they're thinking. They're not thinking, he's racist. He doesn't want to look at him. He doesn't care. Who is he to tell me to get over it? He didn't have that done. He didn't have his women raped in his face. He didn't have his kids, all this stuff done to him. How is he going to tell me to be normal? That's the problem, and until you deal with that aspect of it and understand and acknowledge that before you speak, it's only going to piss people off, especially black people. I'm black conservative, I voted for Romney, but I'm going to tell you, it would piss me off if I hear you talking about just get over it. It's like with Romney, the comment Romney made was stupid. Just Romney makes stupid comments, Newt Gingrich. Made stupid comments. These people make dumb comments. Every time a conservative runs for office, or a Republican, what do you feel about black people? We're the puppet that they use to get this to get into power. They're using us. Just like it's homosexual stuff. They're using black people and what we did and what we fought hard to get to pump that mess in. So they're using us, and I think there's other ways to look at it, but don't just sit up here and say, get over it, because that really pisses people off.
And let me say this. But what I'm saying, listen, you gotta understand what this is. You have African American, most of us, Larry's on here, Alex is on here, Alabama's on here. I'm going to pull up Philadelphia. You have to realize you're talking to African American conservatives who are in the minority of their party.
Exactly.
And Larry can attest to this. Larry, did you get a call from anybody in Ohio to ask you to sit on any kind of panel to deal with African-American conversation?
I'm still waiting for that call.
I just want to know. And as a matter of fact, because we have a very good network throughout the state of Ohio. And if the state of Ohio was a swing state, it was very, very important. You would think that they would call out the African-American conservatives and say, listen, can I say it this way? Larry, did you get a call?
I never received a call, and it's not like they don't know
who we are. Do they have your number?
They have my number. If I see John Kasich tomorrow, he'd say, hi, Larry, how you doing? So it's not like they don't know us. Not one call.
Will Bennett do the same thing? Are we not sitting at these tables? Are we not meeting with these people? Are we not around? Do they not know our number? Do they call us when they want something?
When they want something.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to say.
They didn't call me either.
Bill,
wow.
You are a white man. Bill, you're
doing
a white
man.
Well, Bill doesn't understand. Bill's already sitting up here making comments to piss people off. So, of course, Bill wouldn't be able to tell them what to say. Bill doesn't know how to talk on a radio show.
Bill, you're a white male. They don't have to talk to you. They already got you.
No, well, then that's the same thing the Democrats do. They don't have to talk to you. They don't have to talk to you because they already got you.
Bill.
And by the way,
Bill, are you missing the point?
No, I think I'm listening to your point.
Do you realize that you've got at least seven black people that actually voted for Romney that sit on the Republican side? Do you understand that? Do you understand? When we say call us, we're talking about people that are a part of the Republican infrastructure who are African American who can help them win a race. So that they don't get out there and look like a total butthole when they get done.
And what happens?
You don't go into somewhere talking about 47%. I don't care if the number is right. You don't go in there talking about reproductive rights of women and not have women sitting at the table. This ain't no white boys club.
Well,
especially when you're right about the issues. Go ahead, Larry.
On
reproductive rights, I thought if there was one masterful job that the Democrats and Obama did, was they hung those two senators, one from Indiana and the other from Missouri, they hung their statement, and all of a sudden that was Mitt Romney's statement.
See what
Mitt
I'm saying?
But here's what I was wanted to say, Tracy, because you had a valid point. But I don't think we understand. One of the biggest questions on Romney was he wasn't being specific. He didn't give out specifics. He didn't do this. We didn't ever ask that from Obama. Because if you listen to what Obama's saying, he's telling you we'll raise taxes on that 2% and everything will be good. Everything will be all right. And that's not true, because if you understood how that tax works, it's going to bring in about a tenth of what we spend extra every fiscal year.
He didn't have to. Look at what he did yesterday. He actually threw Boehner under the bus, and I don't even think Boehner realizes it yet.
What happens is he has to go over the fiscal cliff. He wants us to go over the fiscal cliff, only way that things can work,
okay.
Money can work.
Hold on just a second. Local call, your mic is on.
Bye-bye.
Bill, local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hello?
This is 269.
269, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm listening to this guy. Is Bill still on there?
No, hold on, 269. Give me 1 minute. Local call, your mic is on.
Tracy.
Yes.
Hey, this is Stranger. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Well, I think I need to come in and check your blood pressure.
Oh, man, you don't understand.
But I chimed in at the definition that the gentleman had of cracker.
Yes.
And I'd like him to explain then what's a soda cracker.
He left. He's gone. He had to go back to work.
I know, but he said that cracker wasn't a derogatory statement. And I guess everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not their own facts. And the word, I've heard it used, because I was in the South in the 60s as a child, and I heard the term soda cracker.
Oh, that was Alex.
What's that?
That was Alex that said that.
I'm not really familiar with that term, but I can just tell you. I mean, people will use terms and go off with them, you know, and with what they want to do with it. I'm not claiming that every person that uses the term has well intentions or anything. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some people, so let's not try and pick out some obscure example. This is why some people are irritated with white people, because it's like, then you create this obscure example to try to invalidate something, and it's like it has nothing to do with the matter at hand. I mean, I was just explaining the origin of the word. Now, we all know that people, under their own vices, and they will manipulate things and under whatever, you know, make it mean whatever they want. I've never even heard that term before. I was just informing people of what the origin of the word cracker was, and that's it. That has no responsibility on what other people want to make of it.
And a lot of times it's not used in a, you know, the N-word is a lot different. And 269, I'm going to let you jump in. But the N-word is a little bit different. You have to understand how demeaning that word was. And even though it is used, even as a term of endearment through hip-hop, I don't agree with how they use it. But then if you heard a lot of us that are African-Americans say it, we still haven't figured out another word to use. And so some of us still say it to this day. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Your white person can't say it, because when they say it, you have to understand what that meant to them when they heard it, when it was said.
I understand that.
You got to understand what that means. And it brings back some pains of your youth. And there's something that people have not been able to overcome. Go ahead, 269.
Yeah. Man, this is a little bit disappointing, because, you know, I've said this a million times. You know, there's just certain things that are culturally based that when you begin to talk about and try to solve, you cannot have white folk, and that's the same way at the table. And this Bill guy and this other guy, these guys are laughing all the way to the bank at you and me, Tracy.
Listen, I'm not. But see, that's just it. We need to, because right now, everything is public. Facebook is public.
Yeah.
Everything is public. Everybody's out there, and these conversations are going on.
Yeah,
and I sat there and watched the press conference yesterday of President Obama, and I watched him hook, line, and sinker, reel in the Republican Party, and prepare for them to fall flat on their face, and they're too dumb to know it.
Well, and let me say
now
this.
Now, tell me that they didn't.
Yeah, well, let me say this, Tracy. But as far as you, because I believe in your heart that you know, out for the black community and all this stuff. But the thing about it is this. The Republican Party, they see you as a commodity to be traded on the stock exchange, in this sense. If they don't, they have an agenda that you are not a part of, Republicans. And white Democrats have an agenda that blacks are not a part of that. You're a commodity. And if they don't need you at the table, you won't be there. I don't care if they give you the president of the black Republicans of Banana Street.
But that's not the point.
Well, let me finish.
That's not the point.
You just got through hollering about, they got our phone numbers. They're not going to call you.
You missed the point.
That is the point.
No, it's not. Because now, the whole conversation across this country is, how is the Republican Party going to reshape themselves?
They're going to go after the Latino vote.
They're not studying no black folks.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. They are not sitting down with the Latinos. They don't have women, and they don't have African Americans. And the reason why they are stuck where they are is none of those people are sitting in their advisory at advisory capacity in places where they need to be. This is not all about black.
It's about interest groups. About interest groups and what the okay. People don't try to win elections, Tracy, just for winning elections. It's about money and interest groups. I don't care if Republicans cry in your face about they want to run the presidency or Democrats cry in your face and talking about they want to run. This is about money.
But
and
are
they're
you
gonna,
listening
they're
to what
gonna
they're
partner
saying?
Hello?
Yes.
And are they're you? Gonna partner, they're gonna go back to the drawing board, pull out the calculator and the eraser and the pencil and see what did we lose here by losing the presidency. What power or money did we lose? How do we need to reorganize to win that back?
So let me ask you this. So you're trying to say that black folks just need to roll over and play dead. Is that not what I'm hearing from you?
Now, the words that just came out of your mouth, neither one of them words came out of my mouth. So
that's
how did
you
get what I said from that, from what you just said?
I asked you a question. Is that what you're saying, that we need to just roll over and play dead?
Did I say we need to roll over and play dead,
Tracy?
So
if you don't have this conversation, because right now you have an interest group, you just don't know it. You are a part of a major interest group, and you're getting absolutely nothing from nobody.
But you already know my position on blacks and electoral politics, so don't ask the question that you already know the answer to.
So my question is, and 269, you guys, all your mics are open. My question is, inside of this, are we just supposed to be, because right now, let me rephrase this. Right now, we are not sitting at either table. We're being used on one side, ignored on the other. We're having a conversation about race. They're going to use racism against us, and at the end of the day, we're going to be fired.
Well, that just goes to show you, Tracy, what you need, and that's what I'm saying. That's why you can't, you're masquerading as this person who cares about your race, but you really don't.
Who don't?
You're masquerading as
who
that,
don't?
Tracy, because if you did, you would tell black folk the truth.
I did.
And the truth
I just don't tell them your truth, because your truth is incorrect, because you've got crazy truth. It's true. You got crazy truth.
Black folk and where we need to be headed has very little to do with European politics. Now,
man,
you let the people decide if that's crazy.
And what I said is, you got crazy truth.
Take a vote, Tracy, on the people and see how many say that's crazy. See how many black people call in and say that's crazy. Dude.
They're not going to listen. You have to understand, you're not going to reinvent. And Larry, your mic is on. You're not going to reinvent this policy from the outside. If you don't work inside the framework that is here, then you won't be there.
Yeah, my thing, Tracy, is you said right. Obama threw a softball up there, and Boehner and them are ready to hit it out of the park because they have to. For Obama to get done what he wants, you can't just raise taxes on the rich. You have to raise taxes on everybody. And so you see Boehner and the GOP are going to dig their heels in. Obama already said he wanted, what, $1.6 trillion over the next 10 years? Well,
yeah.
Let's say he got that. I don't think a lot of people realize that 1.6 would barely cover the fiscal year that just ended in September. That would barely cover what we overspent from fiscal year 2012. So how in 10 years, how are you going to take 1.6 and apply it, and you're spending that much every year, every fiscal year we're overspending?
I watched them yesterday. I found something out, Larry, and correct me if I'm wrong, 269. I want you guys to understand they're actually manipulating the system, and Republicans don't even realize it because it's a new game. That whole thing with Susan Rice.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing with how he came up yesterday and tossed them that ball, and he actually, it wasn't no softball, Larry. It was a hard ball. It was a curveball. That was a curveball. They don't even see it curving as it came at them. And
well,
they don't know how.
Because he laid it up there, and they swung and hit it and think they hit a home run, and really they did.
Because on come December 31st, they're going to put it back in the Republicans' lap. And what's going to happen is they're going to blame us, and we're going to look like doodle on the face of America, and actually we're going to take America down that socialized cliff that we keep on talking about.
Yes.
That's what's going on here. And they're going to use race, and they're going to use women, and they're going to use Latinos to do it.
And the Republicans will have the egg on their face, just like Newt did back when they did the shutdown.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Bill Clinton was masterful with that. You know, he made it look like, okay, hey, Newt, that guy. And that's what everybody believes.
Hey, Tracy. You know, this conversation is, in some parts, is really irritating to me because we keep talking about this deficit, right? Well, I mean, I just put a video on my page, and it was specifically about it was by Tony Robbins. He has one up on YouTube, and he shows that you could take all the money from every corporation, all the rich people, and everybody, and it would not cover our budget. I mean,
absolutely
cover our budget for 1 year. And so, and this is after you would have to liquidating all the Fortune 500 companies, all this stuff. It would barely meet 1 year. Then what would you do in year two? You know, now you have no revenue at all because you killed off all the, you know, all the billionaires and all this stuff. I mean, he goes through a really drastic scenario to be able to pay what that is. But you know, so we have to be cognizant of that. But the other thing is that what we tend to ignore is that it's not possible to pay down the debt. It's not possible. I mean, well, it's kind of possible if we have a certain kind of economy, but we're not going to have a booming economy because of the way it's structured, because of the Federal Reserve. We pay, you know, we borrow the dollars that we print, and we have to pay it back in interest. So think about it. If you're the only bank in town, and that's the Federal Reserve, and you lend money out to people in town and assume that nobody else in town can get money or anywhere else, and every dollar they lend out, you got to pay them back $1.20, let's say. Let's just put 20% interest on it. Where's that extra 20 cents coming from? So what it means is that it's perpetual debt, perpetual slavery of the American people. But both Democrats and Republicans play as if they could actually balance the budget, play as if, you know, they could actually do something other than, you know, what the only thing that makes sense is what Ron Paul set forth to do. All this other stuff is just complete nonsense.
And but what I'm saying, Alex, is even if you're 100% right, and we know that they're not going to do it, look at how they're setting this thing up for the next two major elections, for the Senate election as well as for the gubernatorial election, as well as for the next presidential election. And what I'm saying is we are in so much debt, and they're going to come after people who have the least amount of to lose. They're not going to go after the middle class, and we need to understand this middle class they keep talking about are not the people that are talking too much on this radio program. The middle class really starts at $100,000 and higher. That's the middle class. Anything less than $100,000 income, you are still the working poor in America unless you live in Ohio, in Youngstown.
You're one paycheck away from the soup line.
And that's what I'm saying. And if you don't have any, and if you don't have an asset of $100,000 or more, then you're just useless.
An income or an asset of $100,000? There's
asset,
a difference.
Asset,
okay.
Asset.
$100,000 asset. Yeah. Okay. I can agree
okay.
with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we think because I make $50,000 a year, I'm middle class. No, sweetie, you're not. Right now, you're going to see a reduction in food stamps in the state of Ohio.
$50 a month.
Because you have to balance the budget as a governor. And the money has to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from somewhere else. So if you get another service, you're going to reduce your food stamps. So all they're doing is playing, you know, three-card Molly with you, or what they call a shell game. And so they're going to blame your governor on your losses, when you're spending almost $14,000 to $17,000 a year to educate a student who can't read? You got, I mean, are we paying attention to what they're doing here? And we're looking at this in a racist view. Because right now, on my Facebook page, I got a whole bunch of folks screaming, I'm not a racist. And we won't have a conversation about race because they're using it as a playing game with the president and with the politics of America today. So they're going to come out and pounce on everybody because they don't want Susan Rice, and they're going to say they're getting ready to demonize the Republican Party because they're going to jump on this little black girl who's a Rhodes Scholar. You got a black president. And we're looking at this as Latinos, women, and blacks going to the Democrat Party, and they're getting ready to blow you up completely. And we're still all broke. Am I wrong?
You have a valid point. I think that to some degree, though, a lot of this stuff, I tend to think that it's theater. Like sometimes
it is political theater. It is. But the problem is, you're sitting in the audience thinking that you got a ticket, and all you are, they're going to blow you up. I've got to go back to what Cornel West said, and I'm not agree with a lot that he said. But we got poverty, we got national security, we got drones. We got things going on in America that they're not talking about. I don't even know what this president stands for. Do you?
No, and I agree with most of what Cornell says. I mean, it really makes me mad when people say that, well, you know, Democrats and Republicans have switched places since back in the day, and Democrats are for civil rights, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, how can Democrats be for civil rights when – you know, Obama just assassinated three American citizens without due process. You know, he just signed into law indefinite detention of American citizens. You know, he's about to have over 10,000 drones in our airspace spying on American citizens. And so sometimes I think, you know, it's bad to say, but I don't know if it can be saved because by the country. Because if people are just that dumb, that and they just keep going, they're just not thinking. It's like we're just a bunch of sheep being led to slaughter. I mean, I don't know if it can be saved.
And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, we're talking about stuff that we ought to be past, and we are using it to keep people emotionally charged, so that we can take over and become something that we're not supposed to be as Americans. Because no one really knows what the issues are right here, and you've got a black face carrying the water for all of it. And no one's asking him about the elephant in the room.
I think things are going to get, you know, if things get as bad as I think they are, I think it's, you know, the people that supported Obama, especially, you know, unfortunately, like African Americans, I think that they're going to be hit the worst.
But they are, but they're blaming the Republican Party for it. You understand? Again, it's smoke and mirrors. They're going to toss this ball over to the Republican Party, saying it's your fault that my life is so bad. Even though President Obama is going to be the one who manipulates the whole thing. And he's being manipulated by somebody that we don't have a clue of.
But, you know, the problem is Republicans, they have no I don't know. It's like Republicans are clueless for the most part. I mean, because nobody trusts them. The reason why, you know, yeah, people won't listen to them is because they don't trust them. I mean, they'll talk about these things, the deficit and all this stuff, but then all they want to do is cut entitlements to poor people, but then don't want to do anything about that $40 billion that's going every month to the banks and quantitative easing. You know, how is that? That's not trickling down anywhere to stimulate the economy. We've been doing this quantitative easing for a while now. You know, but the Republicans don't touch that, and so, and as well as all the other corporate welfare. So then it's like what, how can you trust that the Republicans would do anything different? Because last time they were in office, they were talking about all this conservatism, blah, blah, blah. When they got in office, they were they spent money like crazy. And I'm not even talking about the wars. I mean, I can see Afghanistan, but Iraq? What about No Child Left Behind? Doubling the size of the Department of Education? You know, increasing the loans, you know, people have no trust that the Republicans are going to do anything. I think that, you know, for now, Democrats can still ride on that, you know, that, oh, we don't want to go back to that. We don't want to go back to that. But unfortunately, Obama's leading us, you know.
In the same direction.
Yeah, he is.
In the same direction. And we're sitting here talking about, you know, and that's what I'm saying. They're using this, and I'm watching them getting ready to set everybody up for now, a gubernatorial race 2 years from now, because they've already started kicking the ball in Ohio. And we're sitting up here talking about something that happened last week, and Romney's saying something stupid that's really making it highlight to where you will never, an African-American will never vote for another Republican again in life. And we're not hearing what the policies are. All we're hearing is about the sensationalism of something that doesn't mean anything. 240, your mic is on. 718, your mic is on. Okay. Larry, your mic is on, and so is yours, 269.
I'm just listening, Tracy. It's sad. It's sad, sad, sad. And you're right. The unemployment numbers in Ohio and Pennsylvania shot up this week. And you're right about that. They cut, I think it was $50 per week out of the welfare or the SNAPS program here in Ohio. The problem with that is they're cutting it just as the prices of everything is going up. You talk to these farmers around, even here in Trumbull and Mahoney County, they'll tell you, next year, what you see the food prices.
That's what
everything.
I'm saying. Gasoline is gasoline came up 20 cents after the election.
Yeah.
We've got FEMA, people don't realize how much trouble they are on in the East Coast, where they don't have, FEMA doesn't have any money. The country doesn't have any money. The state doesn't have any money. And people are in desperate need. And they were not prepared for that kind of devastation.
Well, some of it too, Tracy, like FEMA that day, the week, I mean, everybody knew this was going to be a bad storm, yet FEMA is on there selling those shelters. They were on auction, holding an auction. Now, you knew that this stuff was coming, and you're going to auction some of the stuff that you could probably use now, like shelter.
See what I'm saying?
It's just dumb.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just devastated by the games that we're playing. And when I look at the blatant and the race, they're using the race card now, and they're manipulating it, and they're using the gender card, and they're manipulating it for their own benefit. And as I said, the liberal media is playing right into it because it makes good ratings and good news stories.
You know, Tracy, I don't know if you've been paying attention to some of the free market economists, but there's a lot of concern about this beginning of 2013. There is a big, what people are calling a fiscal cliff that's going to happen in January, and it's not just because of taxes, but there's a lot of things going on. A lot of banks and rich people are literally pulling out their silver reserves and their gold reserves. And a lot of these things you don't feel like immediately. It's like it takes a quarter, you know. So we're in the fourth quarter, you know, of 2012. So we're not going to see it till the first quarter of 2013. But there's a lot of things going on that's we may see some drastic inflation, you know, first quarter next year that people just won't be able to deal with. The average person won't be able to deal with. Definitely the energy, the gas is gonna top $4 easy. Probably it may even hit $5, you know. But it's
Do we understand what that's going to do? And in Ohio, your minimum wage is tied to inflation in your conversation.
They don't really report inflation. They keep telling you it's only like 2-3%, but they don't factor in energy costs, the cost of food, things like that, which is complete nonsense because that's what most people's money goes towards. But they don't use that to calculate the CPI and inflation. So you almost have to turn off the television. You know, you can't listen to what they say. I mean, if I do get my news, it's usually online, and I'll go literally to like RT, like Russia or Al Jazeera or Switzerland, and get my news. But I literally do not listen to American news because it's like it's almost as if they don't want us to be an informed electorate or populace. So that, you know, they can just do what they want to do with us when, you know, I guess when the crap hits the fan, you know.
And I have to say, that's my point. I'm looking at what's going on you know, and what people are posting on our Facebook. But my question is, when are we going to start investigating and changing this? Because they're manipulating the American electorate, and they're using race to do it.
Well, they'll use anything that works to do it. I mean,
and racism works.
Yeah, I mean, before that it was gay marriage, gay rights. Before that it was they went on a immigration thing, you know, with undocumented workers. I mean, they'll use whatever it takes, you know, just to keep us divided. And I'm not sure exactly how to do it, but we have to educate ourselves to the point where we can look past the necessary differences and say, okay, what is the outcome? What is the what's the bottom line here that we're dealing with? Not, you know, just much to do about nothing is what most American politics turns out to be. It's just much to do about nothing, and nobody's doing anything about the elephant in the room. You know, they just act like it's not even there.
And that's
Tracy.
What I'm saying. Yeah, Larry.
Two things. As of the census in 2010, Steubenville mirrored pretty much the state as far as African-American population. It was about 15.6.
That's what I thought.
15.8. I knew that just by my eyes, but I figured I'd go ahead and check it out. The other thing,
I mean, I drove through there, and you know, I didn't see no, you know, it ain't like Youngstown.
No, it ain't Detroit, it ain't Youngstown. It's like Ohio. That's why they call Ohio a weather state, because it's pretty much that's what the country is. The other thing, Tracy, is the other caller talked about that. Do you know that pretty much the debt that we the fiscal debt that we have, deficit, is pretty much mirrored what we're paying in interest on the national debt. That's why when I talk to people like my sister, who's very highly educated, wrong on a bunch of things, but I love her. But you know, when I told her, talked to her about the national debt, she said, "Well, that doesn't matter to me." I said, "Yes, that does matter to you. You need to understand that." So the $1.2 trillion that we were short fiscal 2011 is pretty much about what we're paying on our national debt. That's why we keep refinancing when we can. But the problem is our the higher that debt grows, and then we get our thing downgraded, we can't. That's why he's saying we'll never pay that debt off. It ain't going to happen. We can reduce it, but it ain't never going to be zero.
You can never pay down a debt when you. If
all
you
we're
know,
paying is the interest. Yeah, we're just paying the interest.
Yeah, that's all we're paying.
But do you realize
we keep adding to it? It's like I'm borrowing money from you to pay the interest on the note I got, and I still got to pay you back. So all I do is just keep adding to my debt.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You cannot pay down debt borrowing money. So the question that I have now for you guys, and I got to take a break for just a moment and pay some bills, but I need to know, what in the world are we going to do to change this? Because this is dangerous. And having
get you a to-go bag. That way, when the music stops, you can to-go somewhere where you can ride it out for a couple months.
Ride it out where?
Anyway,
my family's going to Ghana. That's where we're going.
Y'all going back to Africa, Alex?
Hey, we already have some people over there, and your money goes so far over there, and you don't have to worry about nothing. I mean, people are so laid back; they don't even worry about time, you know. And it could be annoying for people who's like, yeah, I need to get this done at 2 o'clock. People show up 2-3 hours late, and I'm like, what you worried about? You know, I mean, if things hit the fan, yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going straight to Ghana, and I'm going to chill for a few months, make some money. You can make a lot of money. There's loads of opportunity over there, and chill out. And then
I'm going to Uganda.
I'm
set up in Uganda. I'm already set up.
Y'all can't all leave the States, can you?
Hey, they said it's enough space for us, for all of us who are not there. It's plenty of space and more space. So,
do we hear this? That is so sad. Hey. Americans talking about going to other countries because
we don't.
No, I'm
not an American. No, so let's get that straight.
Well, you're not. What are you?
I'm an African.
Explain that.
You take your break.
All right,
you
I'll
already,
be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'll be right.
You already got some belly today, Trace. You need to take a break. Poor Trace. I feel sorry for Trace. Yeah.
He said, take a break, Trace.
Yeah, she needs to take
a break.
It's going to
be a long
break. Yeah. She's going to have some ulcers and stuff. Yeah, poor Trace. But, you know, as part of, we really are good. Well, you know, this other thing about, you know, every other race is a global race. You know, they see themselves as international, you know. And I think we have just been dumbed down so long, particularly Africans in America. We don't see ourselves. It's almost like kids in the ghetto, you know, you ask them, hey, man, where you been? And somebody ain't been across the state line. You know,
right.
and I think as African Americans, we've been in this bubble so long, man, to even hear, you know, people in America saying they're going to go to Ghana or Uganda or Jamaica. It's almost like, man, what you talking about?
Yeah.
But we should be international people, too. The rest of the world is. Why do we have to be stuck in one place?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And there's so much, I mean, there's so much opportunity for us, too. But besides that, I think that's when we're going to really break out of our mold.
Yep.
When we realize that the world is bigger
yep.
than what the typical European American has allowed us to
yep.
have.
Yep.
You know, because I do business internationally right now. I have clients in Germany. I have clients in China. I get my manufacturing done and things like that. I go straight to the Chinese.
Right.
Probably like once or twice every week. I get on Skype because they're 12 hours ahead, and I get on at about 9-10 o'clock at night, and I'm Skyping with my Chinese and Taiwanese vendors, you know, and because that's how I do business now.
And you're right, Alex. I just when you said that, I just laughed a little bit. I've got 3 clocks on my office wall. I got one that's set on African time. I got one that's set on China, and I got one mm-hmm. set here in America. Because I, you know, what I'm saying, I'm constantly in contact with those people, and just that alone, you know, you know, I mean. You're absolutely right. You just have a different perspective. I guess that's the best way to put it. You know. But we're in trouble, though. One thing I am going to agree with y'all, I think the African-American in particular, I think he is in big trouble. I think a lot of his trouble is self-inflicted. No doubt about the social engineering, but a lot of it is in trouble. And I think what happens is, I say this, man, and I really haven't heard any formula that can disprove it. You have seen the best of the black community. You've already seen it.
Hmm. Why do you say that?
Well, if you look at any of the social factors, right, whether it be education, business, our organizational skills, our ability to create jobs, and things of that nature. In all of those areas, you have seen points in time where we had not peaked out, but you saw it at its best. And
okay.
When you tell people that, like I always tell people, that, man, we need to stop black. Do you know, man, the majority of blacks don't know that there used to be 80-something black banks? They just don't know it.
Right. They can't even fathom it.
Probably. Right. Man, you crazy. I wonder how many black, man, I don't think there's none. Well, that's 38 of them.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
they
that
just
exists right now.
I said, man. So that's what I mean when I say you've seen the best of it. You know, I just don't, and I'm open to hear anything other than this faith. You know, I can't go with that.
I brought this conversation up because I have been watching the news, and for the first time last night, I watched Al Sharpton. I've never really watched his show, and I don't see me doing it as a steady digest. And I was very, very infuriated by watching his show, what I heard him say, watching the news conference and watching President Obama manipulate the situation, and how he did it, I have to say it this way: you gotta give a man, his brilliance. The way he tossed that ball to them, I don't think they see it coming, and it made me realize that they don't have a clue the game that they're in, because the game has changed this quarter. And I don't think they really know what they're up against. And I've got major concerns, and race has a lot to do with it. And you know, Bill called in a little bit earlier, and because, like I said, you know, a man cannot come to a woman and say he understands what it's like to have, you know, cramps and a menstrual cycle and have a baby. And if you want to see a woman get mad, have a man come and say he understands that, and watch us cut your throat.
I understand that, Tracy.
Tracy,
yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie White Man Can't Jump?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a Woody. What is
Woody
that?
Allen.
Woody. Yeah, Woody Allen. And
Woody Harrelson. I'm sorry, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Allen. And what's the brother's name?
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley
yeah.
Snipes.
Okay. This is what I see there. Wesley could represent the Democratic Party, and Woody could represent the Republican Party. And what happens is, after they get through running that game on us,
yep.
they go around the corner and divide up the spoil. See?
You know, and let me say this. It's funny you brought that movie up. Because I brought the same movie up the other day to some friends of mine, and I took it in a different perspective. You know, at the end of the movie, Wesley Snipes said, I think it was Rosie, I can't think of her last name, Rosie Perez. She said, even when you win, you lose.
You lose.
And what I'm saying is, African Americans think they won something, and in actuality, they're really losing.
Well, they're definitely losing.
And my problem is, we won't open up our mouth, because, as I said, I'm a conservative. Bill called in a little bit earlier from Alabama. I am a conservative, trying to tell white conservative men, hey, guys, you are getting ready to get your behind swiped this upcoming December. And they get ready to throw everything at you, and you don't even see it coming. Because President Obama yesterday set the ball up. He set it up. He set the alley-oop coming. Am I lying, Larry?
They will get blamed.
They'll get ready to get blamed for everything that is ever going to go wrong in 2013 so that they can come back in and they can sweep 2014. Because remember, this is a long-term game. This ain't no short-range game. And we're still only in the first quarter, the beginning of it. I don't think I'm wrong on this.
Tracy, you didn't get a call.
I know I did.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And they're too, you know, pride comes before a fall. They're too ignorant to call somebody or arrogant to call somebody and say, listen, this is different. Is there anything that I need to know?
They didn't even call y'all to help come clean up afterwards?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because we done made a mess here,
well,
and we
really
don't even know how to get it cleaned
up. Clean up.
That's what I'm saying. And the problem is,
to clean up.
No, and see, and this is the issue. The problem is they don't even know that there's a mess on the floor.
Well, one thing I think, Trish, I think you're making white males, in particular the Republicans, out to be dumber than they really are. They're not as dumb as you think. I think you're seeing into something that really is not there.
No. This is not about being dumb.
I don't know if there's somebody's radio's on or something.
It's somebody. Hold on. And it's bad. Hello?
It's not mine.
Larry? Hello? It was Larry. I think Larry's on a Bluetooth or a speaker. You know, I'm not making white men and white Republicans to be dumb. This is not about who's dumb and who. This is what you call arrogance. You have, and I believe I'm right when I say this. And if I'm wrong, somebody call in the number 347-945-5229. We talk about the left wing media. We talk about the media, and we have to understand. This is just my interpretation of what I see. The American people have been indoctrinated to believe that African Americans are not as bright as they are. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that the now, if you're talking about, well, okay, the African American community. When you say community, you move away from knowledge. It's about consciousness then. The African American is very unconscious. That's a fact. So they are dumb as it relates to that. They are very dumb.
No. We're not talking about dumb. I'm talking about when you look at Tiger Woods. They were really, really impressed when Tiger Woods showed up and whipped everybody. They remember when they used to say that African Americans couldn't be quarterbacks?
Mm.
Larry, because you're my football guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Why could African Americans not be quarterbacks?
They didn't have the capacity to handle the playbooks. They were athletes. They were athletes playing quarterback.
Okay. So, and I believe, what was his name that said that? Was Billy the Greek, Jimmy the Greek?
Jimmy the Greek, yeah. He's a Steubenville guy.
Okay. So, they said that African American men could not be quarterbacks because they could not handle being the captain of the team and dealing with all the multifaceted functions of the football game on the field for the playbook. And then we had, you know, who was that guy who came out? He plays. Was it Mike? No, help me out, y'all. There was a football.
Doug,
he's a quarterback.
Doug Williams was the first African American quarterback that won the Super Bowl.
And things changed. And so now we're not as dumb as we look. 438, your mic is on. 438.
Yes, Tracy.
Yes. Stanley, you got a reverb in your phone, and we keep on hearing it's coming back and feeding back into the system.
Oh, okay, let me check.
Call me right back. So. I'm just saying, and so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at this political arena, because this is the highest level of politics you've ever seen a black man play in. And black men do things differently. Am I wrong? I got a bunch of black men on the line. Am I wrong?
Oh, no. You're definitely not wrong about that.
Okay. So if black men do things differently, and they don't understand that when you – it's like, you know, Michael Jordan when he came and played basketball. They had never seen anything like that before because he not only put the ball in the hoop, he went mid-court, legs sprawled, holding the basketball, and flew over people to get the ball in the hoop.
You know what, Tracy? I don't think that they've so much tried to tell us that we're not smart enough because, you know, even back, even presidents, Lincoln and even earlier presidents had African advisors to them and people who were close to them. You know, there were many, you know, Benjamin Bannekers and not many, but you know, we've been high achieving all throughout. But the problem has always been that what they've convinced us of is that we our efforts are best served in service of them and not in ourselves. And that's what we've become convinced of. I'll tell you that, you know, I remember when I went to Pitt, that wasn't when I was in college, I got together with a couple other brothers, and we actually made an engine together. And we were talking about, okay, we can make a motor company. You know, this was an engine, it was revolutionary, it was alternative energy, and it could power any car or truck, you know. And we were talking about, well, let's make this motor company. But you know what? These guys were they would rather go work for Ford or GM than to do something like that, because even though what we had created was superior, but they thought they were convinced in their mind that their talents, their skills would be best served going to serve somebody else's interests. And I think that's the biggest problem, because we are operating in full capacity in every area of people activity in this country: doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, everything. But we have been convinced that our efforts is best to serve others and not ourselves.
But see, what I'm saying is we are miscalculated, because when things happen, and what's happening right now, because we do things differently and because we think differently, and I've never seen anything that we've never revolutionized when we jump in it. The same thing with raising money for a campaign. President Obama, when they ran that campaign in 2008, they changed a whole lot of stuff.
Can I add something to what Alex? I think, the analysis of I don't know that. Okay, if you're in somebody else's house, though, Alex, that's the mind state that he's supposed to have. In other words, if you're going to build an engine in my house, Alex, I'm going to put it to market. I'm going to your name is not going to be on it. I'm going to pay you, but I'm going to put my name on it.
Hold on, guys. Let me pick up 261. Go ahead, Paul. 261, your mic is on.
Tracy.
Yes.
Are you still having problems with your computer mouse?
No, I found it.
Yeah, because this is the guy that built it, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
You built my mouse?
No, I built your computer. Who built your computer?
Hi, guy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I wanted to call in because I was listening to the show earlier, so I'm late now to the party, but that's because I was on the road and I had to get out and go do some work.
So
the guy that called in about the term cracker?
Yes.
People are typically confused and think that Wikipedia is a credible source on the internet for information, and it's not. The term cracker was originally used for the early Spanish cowboys in the South, typically Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, that used a whip to herd cows with. It had nothing to do with slavery or anything else. It had to do with cowboys who were eventually the settlers that are the original people, the very few original people in Florida, especially in Florida. It had nothing to do with slavery. It never did. Just because it's possible that it could be used for that, as it's put in Wikipedia, doesn't make it so. That's not what it was. If you're a family of people that goes back generations in Florida, you're known as crackers. And everybody else is a damn Yankee. That's just how it is. It never had anything to do with anything else other than that. Just because Wikipedia says so doesn't make it true.
But you know what's funny? And I gotta throw this into the mix. You know, it's funny how so many people can have one term and have different definitions of the same term.
Yeah.
And all of them not be true.
Yeah.
And exactly, that's right. And you can go to the internet, and if you want to make an argument about something, you can find any website you want to that agrees with you and reference it, but it doesn't make it so. That's not what it is. Crackers had nothing. They were Spanish people. Crackers are typically Spanish people because that's who settled Florida first, was the Spanish. And they brought their cows with them, and they used a bullwhip to crack them around to make the cattle move, unlike typical cattle ranchers do today. That's why they call
Can I address that, Tracy?
Well, you picked him up, and I hadn't finished my thought. Let me finish my thought.
Hold on to your thought. Write it down, just because I want Alex to go ahead and address it, because I don't want to go too far past that.
What you're saying, sir, is correct, but you're speaking as if people don't have different meanings for the same word, and it happens all the time in different localities. I mean, there are written letters from slaves who taught themselves to read that use that word, and it's something that we know existed to describe those types of persons going back to the 1800s. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have any other term to use at all. And this comes from literature that I've read, that I studied in college when I was, and this was back in the late 1990s, had nothing to do with Wikipedia at all, before Wikipedia, just for your information, sir.
And that's the thing, that's why I say, everybody in the black community knows that when a black person says cracker, it's meant as a derogatory expression for a white person. So, see, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's not even debatable. Ask any black that.
But again,
what it says in the dictionary or the etymology of it.
Listen, but it doesn't matter because everybody receives it differently, even if you – just like the word hunky. You know, hunky – you have hunky bread, Hungarian. I mean, there – we say it as African Americans to mean something totally different than when white people
say
it.
Right. Well, that's what I said. It's Mickey Mouse talk.
But it's not Mickey Mouse talk when we say it to actually become something that it should not be. And so we know, you know, it's the word, it's the F word for gay folks. Just like gay used to mean happy, and now happy gay means now same sex.
And that's what I was going to say too. Is over time the definition of words changes to suit a society, but that's not, it doesn't make the word evil, and it never has. And it doesn't, when you're in the South and you use the term cracker, like I said, everybody down there that's not originally from Florida is a cracker. And it doesn't matter if you're a black guy or a white guy or even a Hispanic guy, we're all crackers unless we're a Floridian. And that's how the term originated, and that's what the term originally means. What society has turned it into now doesn't necessarily make it evil to everybody.
Hey, listen, I got to take my break. I'll be right back.
Hey.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Still there? Okay, before you disagree with me, let me finish my point of what I said. Now, the relationships between African people with Europeans here in America, we know that it's documented. So that part of it is not debatable between me and you because the history is there. All right.
Right, right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we ain't got to debate that part. If
right.
you look at any engagement between Africans and Americans as it relates to moving his culture forward, you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. The clarity is there. that there's no misunderstanding about what we can do and what we can achieve. That's clear. That history is there as well. But when,
right.
whenever you're inside another person's culture, that's part of his immune system, Alex, to make there can be two men in one house. You see?
Well, the reason I have to disagree with you is because there's immigrants in this country that come here that far outperform us and they aren't considered white by any means, but it's more of a mentality that we've been, you know, indoctrinated with or raised with. Because you see people from other countries come here all the time. I mean, you know, and excel and build institutions and organizations and businesses and become multimillionaires and billionaires.
But your point was this, Alex. You said he has convinced us that our services are mm-hmm. better used, you know, enriching him. That's not your correct words, but you were saying that he convinced
yeah,
us
yeah,
of that,
yeah.
right? And what yeah. I'm saying is, that's what he's supposed to do. I guess that's what. So,
oh yeah, I agree.
Okay,
I agree
okay,
with you
okay.
That.
So you see,
I agree
he's
with
supposed
that.
To do that. He's not supposed to say, "Hey, man, you can build this motor better than me. You should go start a company and compete
well,
with
no,
me."
We can't expect him to tell us that. You know?
Right.
Yeah, we're on the same page with
okay,
that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And
he's going to always do that. And to and this is the thing right here then, Alex. And what a culture allows you to do is even if a person says, "No, man, I think I can be better off building my own motor," once the culture, that's a red flag to the culture. So now the culture has to go inside of itself, see what resources it has to make sure that you can't, to block you if that's going to be a threat to the culture. Even so,
right.
like you see, so even when you say, "No, man, I'm gonna do my own motor factor," and then the culture says, "Okay, go for it. We can't stop you," but you better believe that culture goes back into the boardroom and say, "How is this going to affect us? Who is it going to affect?"
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
Definitely. And so
when he shuts us down or attempts to shut us down or corners the market, then we like a deer in headlights say, "I can't believe he did that." Why wouldn't you believe he'd do that?
That's what he's supposed to do.
That's what I keep. Now that's the part where I say we dumb. What?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, who put this chip in our head that it goes back to this, man? We have been bamboozled about this concept called racism. There's elements of racism that are not bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, as soon as something comes up where it looks like he sided against us or something, and said, "Man, I can't believe he would do something like that." Well, if you understood culture and a historical relationship, that's what all cultures do.
Right. Yeah.
They all would do
yeah.
the same thing. If we was to be dropped into Mexico. Right, as black, they would do the same thing.
Mhm. Yeah.
So,
I agree with you, but hey, you know, I'm gonna have to call back in because I got a meeting I got to get to. So,
hey, did Pianke ever help you with any connections on the continent? I know that's a long process, but did you have any traction there?
Not really, not yet. I mean,
okay.
I think I linked that with him on Facebook, but I just been so busy with.
Yeah, yeah.
I got like four different clients asking me for stuff at the same time.
Man, that's
so
good. Yeah.
No, I don't. It don't feel good. I mean,
I
feel good after I can look at my bank account
yeah.
in a couple weeks. But right now, it don't feel good, man.
I got
so,
you.
But yeah, so
okay,
So I gotta go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Peace.
So I'm in the quiet room by myself, huh?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. You in the other corner over there?
Yeah, I had to get out of the car for a little bit.
Okay. Who is this, Larry?
Yeah, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
And who's? What's your name again?
Maurice. Yeah, call him.
Maurice, you're from Chicago or
Michigan?
Or down south?
No, I'm from Michigan, yeah.
Where at in Michigan?
Right now I'm in Kalamazoo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lived in Downriver, Detroit for about 8 years.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about right off of 94 in between Detroit and Chicago. About 280 miles from Detroit. I got buku family in Detroit, though.
I used to hunt out that way.
Oh, okay, okay.
I ran a trucking company, and one of my drivers had a farm. It would have been from Ann Arbor, because I was living in Ann Arbor at that time. It was about an hour and 20 minutes from Ann Arbor, but going out towards your way.
Yeah.
Well, we're back on, guys, so now that we've got all that clear.
We were talking fish or hunting.
I see. You know, I thought y'all would continue the conversation. Y'all had gone off the cliff. Go ahead. 269, you wanted to complete your thought. South Carolina's coming in. Hold on, South Carolina. 269, complete your thought. You were talking about something else.
Yeah, on the break, me and Alex, I just wanted to say something to Alex, and actually we completed it. So.
Oh,
yeah.
You did it already?
Yeah.
Okay. South Carolina, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've been trying to get to the show for quite a while now, but I've been caught up doing Toys for Tots. Remember, everybody that's listening, support your local Toys for Tots program. It's a worthy cause. But I guess you all have already talked about Mr. Cornell West and Tavis.
No, Collier. We haven't got. I've jumped around it because I'm talking. How this is? I mean, so that we can catch you up and everyone else who's listening who has come in. I brought race into the equation because, you know, I find that black people speak English, but their culture and how they do things is different. And I'm looking at the political landscape of things, and I'm watching the Democrats manipulate the political arena based on racism and gender identification and gender itself as far as women. And when I say race, I'm talking about African American and Latinos. And then they're leaving the economy to where there's a classism. And they're using this ball, and Republicans I don't think are paying attention to that they have changed the game, and I'm not quite sure if Republicans know that the game that they've changed, they're getting ready to get slapped.
Tracy, I don't think they've got a clue. I really don't think they've got a clue, and I really do think that you've got a set of Republicans or a set of conservatives out there that think the game is going to be played fair. And by the time they figure out this thing is not played fair, it's going to be too late. Just like this time, it was way too late. You know, the race card got played, the sex card got played, you know, and the class card got played. And there was no response to either one of them.
Well, see, what I'm thinking is, and what I want people to really understand is, they're all getting played, but I don't think they realize that they've changed the rules of the game or the mechanics of the game. And yesterday, President Obama threw these people a curveball. Larry called it a softball. But they get ready to drop the whole thing into their lap so they can sail through the 2014 election.
I don't get it.
I know that Larry is involved politically in the state of Ohio. I know that I am. I know quite a few others, and we've had this conversation. And I don't see any Republicans calling any African-Americans, any women, or any Latinos to ask them, the game has changed. What do I do to play inside of this? Because things are being done differently. Because right now you got a bunch of black faces talking about what's going on so that you cannot come back and demonize them. And what they're doing is they're roping in the Latino, the black, and the female vote, and white men will never be able to succeed in the political process when all the other groups are on the other side. Local call, you're on the air.
This is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Tracy, your family is supposed to be a Christian, and you're a minister, and you should recognize that that's God. He's getting ready to shut down this world.
What?
In other words,
but hold on. What am I supposed to do? Sit down and just pray?
No.
What?
That really is saying, just like myself.
No.
I learned I was being disobedient by voting for Obama because I should have stood firm for righteousness. I shouldn't have voted for anybody. Shouldn't have took part in the political process. because I know that Jehovah is getting ready to bring judgment upon the nations.
And your point is?
I learned that as y'all keep on saying that the economy is going to get worse by next year, and you keep on bringing up about Obama, and then I also mentioned, was he the Antichrist?
Steve, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Republican Party.
My question is, how are we going to get energized inside of this? So that, because I am convinced that when America catches a cold, people that are in poverty and people that are of color, they catch the flu. And they are manipulating these people. They're manipulating women. I'm watching them do this. And the last thing that we want is a complete Democrat controlled society.
All right.
Yeah, but I mean, Michigan, he was talking about the Federal Reserves and how the Federal Reserves.
That's Alex. No, that's out of Florida. Go ahead.
Oh, how the Federal Reserves has something to do with the house. Money as interchange in our economy and things like that.
Okay.
Well, there again, and that's probably why because the Federal Reserve does run the system.
Okay.
And so if the Federal Reserve, as you said, that they're not going to do anything about that situation.
That's two. Hold on, 261. Your mic is on.
Tracy.
Paul.
You got to start giving us something.
What do we got to give you?
You got to start giving us something. The Democratic Party, like the man said, the Democratic Party is known for giving people stuff. You got to start giving people stuff, and the Republican Party won't give nothing.
Hey, Paul, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We tried to give you a job, you didn't want it.
No, it didn't.
Yes, we did. We tried to give you a job, but you didn't want it. You'd rather sit at home and collect your stuff.
I got mine, and you got to get mine. You got to get yours the same way, and that ain't working.
That is a lie.
Tracy says right now, what are they going to do for black women and black men in the Democratic Party?
No, this is not even about black women. No. Because look, you got people who are they're stuck on Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood killed more babies in a little bit, but we stuck on Planned Parenthood. We got to have food stamps, and they get ready to cut food stamps. You can't spend money and when you have no money. Food is going up beyond you know a measurable consideration, and we're getting ready to get lost inside of this, and we don't understand that there's a game being played here. 724, your mic is on.
Chris, we're gonna have to pull together and stop this divided stuff because you know this election was about the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots won. And that's
no, the have-nots did not win. Again, sometimes
won.
When you think you've won, you've lost. Because entitlements are not going to help you. If you're not getting an education, and the education is free, right now the only thing you need to be getting right now is an education, and we don't want that. So we're being manipulated because of our ignorance. We're paying $17,000 per pupil inside of our school, and they still don't understand what they're reading. That's a problem. 724, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. It's still me.
Okay. I got somebody that just came in. Hold on. That's you, Paul. Go ahead.
Tracy, I'm going to tell you, like I said, we tried to give them a job, but they didn't want it. But
you can't have a job if you don't have an education.
So in other words, if I'm hearing what I think I'm hearing you say, forget talking about abortion, forget talking about the bill, concentrate on the economy. Don't get drawn into a discussion or a debate about it. Just do what we do best, and that's create jobs. Bottom line.
That's a question. What does that mean, to debate about abortion? What does that mean?
See, then remember, you asked the question. They threw out there that they were going to shut down Planned Parenthood, and they're not going to let women have contraceptives. They were going to be barefoot and pregnant, and that and rape was not a violent crime. So they threw all that out there. They scared the crap out of women. Women slipped over and voted for Barack Obama because he became this compassionate for women, and in the end, it's still going to come back and bite us in the butt.
That don't scare you?
No.
What?
That didn't scare
you. Let me tell you something, man. You know, they're getting ready to stick it to. They're going to stick it to the rich, right? What happens when you can't get no more from the? They're going to stick it to the rich, but what happens when the rich run out of money? Then they got to say, okay, the rich have given their part, now it's your turn. Think about that.
That's why they call it rich, brother, because they ain't going to run out of no money.
But see, rich, rich
don't run out of money.
No, no, Paul, rich run out of money. Wealth don't run out of money. And there's a difference between rich and wealth. And right now, we're putting into this class warfare. And right now, because of our lack of education and our ignorance, we are losing at this game because they are manipulating us and we are as fodder. And that is an issue.
First day we step on this in this country, and you ain't never going to be nothing but a pawn, period.
That's not true.
You might as well learn how to play the game and survive until you die, because that's what it's all about.
Paul, I'm not talking to you no more because I don't believe that. And I don't believe that I'm put on earth to be a pawn to the system. I just don't believe that. And I believe that we can rise up beyond that if we would educate ourselves and stand up on our own two feet. But you cannot do that being manipulated by a system who's getting ready to hold you down. And that's what they're doing. The last thing we want right now is to have a complete Democrat-controlled administrative, Supreme Court, as well as legislative, on all forms of government in most of your states. You don't want that. And it will hurt us in the end. You don't want that. If you want to see what America will look like, look at your inner cities. And right now, our inner cities are deplorable. You cannot function being broke. And if you look how President Obama won, he won in areas that have the education system is deplorable. The economic development is in shambles. And unemployment is on the rise. That won't work. 831, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. This is Bonnie.
Hi,
and
Bonnie.
You're saying exactly what is true. And if the people that are listening, and, you know, there was a couple of your callers today said they're leaving. They'll leave the United States. They have enough money to do it, and that's what will happen. And plus, all the people that everyone that voted, and the Democrats are now in there. Do you see what the Democrats that you voted into office are wearing? How are they raising their children? What kind of homes do they live in? Who do you think they're going to hang out with when they have a lifestyle that's way out of what you can reach as an average middle-class American?
But, and again, I need y'all to understand something. And if you don't have $100,000 in assets, you're not middle class.
Right.
You're working poor.
Right.
And this upcoming, when you look at health care reform, the way it's getting ready to come in here, we're setting ourselves up for something that we're not prepared for. And I don't think we are really understanding this. And this fiscal cliff. They are going. It is. They're manipulating and they're playing a game with us. And I don't see it happening. Because see, when you talk about that top 1%, that's not $250,000 and more. And they're going to play a game of chicken with our lives.
Tracy, don't worry about it.
Why is that, Paul?
Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it.
Listen, I told them yesterday, and I'll continue to say this, I didn't lose because President Obama won. But the issue is America needs to stand up and be America. And what we're doing is we're becoming something that we're not.
You lost with style. But Romney and them other guys, all they're doing is complaining as to why they lost. They are trying to justify it. They don't have any style. They never had. You lost. You move on. You try again. These guys, they're telling the whole world, because the world's just about all black, and the white person got a chance to do nothing anymore. I don't believe that a black man is the fastest man on this earth. I believe that there's somebody white or somebody Hispanic that's coming along that can beat the black man running. I don't believe that the black man is the only one that can play football. I don't believe the black man is the only one that can play basketball. And the world is showing you that. I wouldn't worry about it.
See, Paul,
Paul,
you're too shallow, baby. I can't handle it. I can't handle it because it's deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that. We need to understand America as we know it. The world does not have to end and America go down. And I happen to like the America that I live in.
Tracy, I do too. And, you know, what Paul was just saying there is a perfect example. You know, it's like the Democrats and Republicans. I really don't care who wins. I care about America. I want people, like you've talked many times in your show, we want to be able to take care of our families. We want to be free. This is why we live here.
But freedom takes responsibility and it takes education.
Exactly.
And right now we are being dumbed down and we're being sensationalized by other people. They're going after Governor Kasich for Planned Parenthood. I mean, we need to understand what's happening here.
Well, you know, the other thing is Romney doesn't need, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, he lost this election. His life goes on, Tracy.
Yeah, but he didn't realize he was going to leave, and he's really, some of the comments he's making is going to make it difficult for the future of the party.
And I wish I would have been able to hear, if you played that tape earlier today, I wish I would have been listening. I wasn't able to hear that. Did you play a tape that of something he said?
No. Okay. There was what he said in a nutshell in South Carolina. You probably could have heard it. What he said in a nutshell was that, you know, the Democrats actually they picked up the nod from the Latinos based upon the DREAM Act when he did that executive order, and he is correct. It showed that they were compassionate to, you know, inclusion. We got to be honest about that.
Right.
He did. And they were. And we could not articulate our position. But I promise you, he did not have a lot of Latinos sitting at, and I'm talking about everyday Latinos. I'm not talking about people who are his best friends and sitting in the Millionaires Club. I'm talking about having focus groups. We're talking about marketing and trying to get a person's vote. You need to have a focus group and ask them, what do you need?
That's right.
You can't be sitting up there from the glass ceiling trying to tell me what you think I want if you don't ask me what I need. And that's a problem. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Do you think that perhaps Romney just didn't – perhaps people in his circle just made a calculated risk or assessment that no matter what he did – he wasn't going to get those votes, so which is why he said what he said, because he was convinced that he wasn't, there's nothing he could do to get those votes without without his own base going against him.
No.
Am I still hot?
Go ahead, Larry.
I'd like to answer that one. I think what happened is Romney put all in on the economy. I mean, really, he was in shock, just like a lot of. I'm not gonna lie, I was disappointed. You saw me the next day, Tracy. The jobs was the number one because it was crazy. Because on the exit poll, everybody was talking that their number one thing was the economy, yet they didn't go with Romney on that. So you're right. He needs to get a focus, and not he, because he's not gonna run again. But the GOP needs to understand how to talk to Hispanics or the African Americans or the single mother out there that's struggling, and why a job is the most important thing, not another handout. You know what I mean?
And
my humble opinion, because I've always adhered to Ronald Reagan, the best social program out there is a job, not welfare, not anything. We have to do a better job on how we portray that we're not just looking out for the owner of that company. Because, yes, I want that owner of the company to be successful, because if he's successful, then he's going to hire people, which means everybody is happy.
But, see, I want to and add on to what you're saying, Larry, I agree, but this is the issue. You cannot talk to – I mean, jobs were important, but if you're not articulating your position as you should – And you know you can't come out and talk about the 47%. You can't let them demonize you because of other races based on reproductive rights. All this stuff piled in together, plus the Latino vote, and you think that you're going to come out just talking about the economy, because in the past, with the economy the way that it was, there's no way that Romney should have lost. But remember,
right.
The rules change based upon Obama's model.
There was the best candidate we had, that Kasich has copied, Christie has copied, Walker has copied, even the guy Perry down in Texas, is Mitch Daniels, the governor of Indiana. But if you remember when they were talking, because people were begging him to get into the race, and he said that we had to call a truce for these social issues. And the far right of our party that has a big influence in the primary pillared the guy. I mean, they
absolutely.
Just pillared him. And that's everything that he talked about bore witness a week ago this Tuesday.
And not only that, when you look at what they did, and I'm watching them demonize now Houston for voter suppression in the state of Ohio, and I don't see anybody coming to his defense.
It's the same way what Jeff said the other day, that Wednesday when we were in there. Nobody defended George Bush, so it was just they kept on. And then if you say it enough, it becomes the truth. And nobody, you're right, nobody's out there defending Houston. Matter of fact, when you tried to defend him, you were called all kind of vile names on Facebook.
Absolutely. And not only that, let's look at really what's going on here. They did the same thing to Ken Blackwell. Ken Blackwell was a nameplate for George Bush's campaign, and when he came up for re-election, Stephanie Jones and Barbara Boxer demonized him because he was supposed to be a Bush Republican. And I know
right.
You remember that.
Oh, yeah. I was me, our former, our rest in peace, Mike, there was a lot of us took a whooping on that one.
And we do not realize that there was no voter suppression in the state of Ohio just because they didn't want you to vote the last 3 days, then you've been voting for 25 days before you got there. And they played on the emotions of the African-American people in the inner cities of the state of Ohio, and they manipulated you to get out to vote so that they could win and you could not get anything out of it.
You got to explain that one to me. How you can vote for 25 straight days and then say you're suppressing somebody's vote?
No. Let me actually put this. They sent out an absentee ballot request form to everyone in the state of Ohio. All you had to do was sign it and put the last 4 digits of your social, and they would mail you a ballot to your house.
And that's suppression.
Absolutely.
Ooh, you have to be stupid.
They'll buy it, though. Believe that. They bought it.
Hook, line, and sinker. They manipulated the vote. They manipulated the mind. They got them to stand in line for hours to vote for Barack Obama, and he's not going to give them a glass of water at the end of the day. Because you're still walking across the places in your high school, and you still don't have an education. You still don't know what you're reading, and you still don't have a good understanding.
You know, Tracy, they did that to themselves, though, the Republicans. It made no sense for them. They should have enough foresight not to try to push for voter ID laws right before an election. Now, if this was done, a couple of years back or whatever, then I don't think that the media would have had so much ammunition to go off of. But the fact that they were pushing for it right before an election, it's like it just made it look really bad.
So, Alex, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, did I not say that they did not have people that were thinking like you to tell them that? See, this is my issue with Donald Trump. President Obama, he may have been born in the bushes of South Africa. But right now, if you wanted to make that case, you should have done that 4 years ago. Because if you don't make the case then, you might as well get past it. Because right now, you look like a bitter, rich white boy trying to go after a black president.
Oh, yeah.
Am I lying?
No, Tracy, you're not, because I watched that and I thought to myself, I am a white woman, 57 years old, in Ohio, where we have all the voter suppression. And I heard Donald Trump come out of that, and I thought, why don't you go back to your office, Mr. Trump, and go do something? Because what you've just done makes Republicans and anyone who has a platform for something called freedom in America, which he can buy his way in or out of, by the way, you know, you just put it in the toilet. It's stupid.
You can't prove that now. Right now, if they had talked about and really showed you the numbers of the inner cities and showed you where you live and showed you who you are and showed you what you haven't done, and we could have won a whole better race. But no, we were talking about birth certificates and racism and voter suppression, which was make-believe in most people's minds.
And Tracy, since the election, it's pretty much been the same thing again.
That's what I'm saying, and we're still at it, and they won't listen.
They're still at it. And it's just silliness. It's just silliness. I do have to leave, Tracy. I wish you well on your trip. I'll be tomorrow.
I'll be here tomorrow for open mic, but then I'm going to leave early and I'm going to get out of here and go and get on the road. But thanks, Bonnie.
Okay. Well, you be careful. We'll see you on Monday. Take care.
See you guys on Monday.
Bye-bye.
If God says the same. But I'm just serious. I got issues with this. I do. 438, your mic is on.
Can you hear me better, Tracy?
Yes, I can, Stanley.
Okay. Yeah, but there's one thing that you don't understand also. A lot of people didn't connect with Romney, didn't connect with his message, didn't connect the way he talked. So that's the reason you lost the election. But people don't trust Republican for George Bush. I'm sorry. A lot of people
There were more people that didn't. You understand? That's what we just said. And what I'm saying is, why is it that they do not have people? You've got enough people that will give you honest answers to let you know what people need on certain levels. You just can't use your pencil and your numbers to come up with an electoral vote. And, Bill, I know that they've been working on voter ID for years, but during the presidential election, they should have let it go.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Romney wasn't presidential. Romney didn't answer the question that we wanted to know. How are you going to do the $5.7 trillion, Andy? And he's not explaining the thing.
Let me say this, okay? I've been listening to you for some time now, but here's the problem, okay? All the things that you said about Romney are not true.
Let me finish, Stanley.
You said that he wasn't presidential, he was not honest, and he didn't do good in the debate. But here's the problem with that. You refuse to say anything about Obama and his flaws. You see? You're not even listening to what she's saying.
Because I trust him more than Romney.
You don't...
I'm sorry.
Stanley, it seems like to me you don't trust anyone, any Republican, because of the policies that they have. But the policies that they have, you like them. You want to live by them.
You want to be successful
by them. Those policies help you to be successful in America. And you turn your back on them for a cell phone or some food stamps.
That's what you believe.
You would sell out principles for a piece of land. Come on, man. That's crazy.
That's the reason you're losing an election again.
Stanley, I've been on here for 2.5 hours, and I have ripped the Republican Party, and I am a Republican, and I've been very, very honest about them. So tell me, what can you say about President Obama in the same truthful manner?
Well, in the same truthful manner, I know where he's going. At least
I said, tell me his flaws in a truthful manner, because I can tell you mine. I can tell you my Republican flaws. Tell me the Democrat flaws.
The flaws of President Obama? Fine, I'll give you that. Maybe he's not as open that he didn't bring the change that we expected. He didn't bring us together like he said he was going to do it. That's number four. Flaw number what?
Tell me. I talked about the Republican Party. I didn't go after Romney personally. I talked about the Republican Party. Tell me about the Democrat Party that you can tell me that's true.
Well, the Democrat Party are very stubborn and bitter with their way of thinking, and they don't want to open up for anything that Republican has to say.
And is that a good thing or bad?
No. I've always told you it's not a good thing. I've always told you that. Did I ever say that it was a good thing? I never said it was a good thing. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. I just want the best idea possible, and I want us, both people, to sit down and be honest with each other.
Tell me this. Are the Democrats actually manipulating people based on race and based on gender?
Well, yes, I'll give you that. Yeah.
That's all I want people to wake up there and say, you know what, I refuse to be manipulated. I don't mind if you stand by what they believe and what they're saying, not a problem. But don't be manipulated because it sounds good. Go ahead. I think it's Alex. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
You know, I forgot now. I mean.
Because you're old.
Yeah, I am getting old, yeah. But, you know, I think Stanley is right that people don't trust Republicans. They just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, because
they don't.
Because
you lied.
Hold
on,
Stanley. Because Alex talks soft and slow. Go ahead, Alex.
Because the thing about it is that it just gives you an uneasy feeling when they want to cut entitlements to regular people, but do nothing about all the entitlements to the rich. And so it just reinforces the stereotype of Republicans that they're just in it for the rich. And they act like they care about the budget, but when they're in office, they spend like, you know, a college kid who just got a new credit card. So it just seems so totally disingenuous, all the attacks that Republicans had against Obama. You know, the very guy that they chose to run against Obama, you know, proposed the same, practically the same, you know, healthcare system, you know, in his state. And so it's like, how can you run against yourself? And so it just exemplified the fact that Republicans just seem very hollow. And so, you know, people just don't want to vote for
it. Hey, go ahead, South Carolina.
Here's the thing that I'm looking at, and Stanley and Alex. Here's the thing, okay? You know, Stanley's saying that Republicans lie. They told a lie, and they don't like people. They want to cut entitlements. But here's a twist in the whole thing. The rules are the rules of the laws of economics work both for the Republicans and the Democrats. And if you're going to spend uncontrollably, for Republican or Democrat, you're going to have revenue someplace, right? So the Democrats want to raise taxes, but they do not want to cut. It's like somebody that's got a credit card, And the husband's got to tell the wife, quit spending, or go out and get another job. The wife said, no, I'm going to spend. Now, at what point do you say, listen, we got to stop spending? Nobody's saying cut out food stamps. But since Obama's been in office, food stamps have not leveled out. They have increased exponentially.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with what you're saying, though. You know, Republicans refer back to Reagan, and he cut taxes, but he didn't stop the spending. In fact, he kept spending, and so he exacerbated the problem. Although the economy did grow, but he exacerbated the problem. Hold on.
Did he increase spending?
Yes.
But did revenues go up?
Revenues went up, but this is what I'm finding out.
I don't argue that the revenues went up. Yes, we can agree that they went up.
What caused them to go up was he cut taxes and the revenue came in at a higher rate.
Look, South Carolina. Look, I'm not debating that. That's truth. Because you know, if you take the burden off of companies, they can grow. I agree with you on that. But what I'm saying is that when Republicans are in office, they still spend money. You know, yeah, the revenues came in, but they kept spending. You can't pay down the debt unless you have to stop spending. And so even though the new revenues came in, they spent more. They still spent more than what was coming in, and Reagan still signed those bills.
But just
and
but
so,
let me show this.
And
you're
still
right.
The money. And the same thing with Bush.
But let me throw this into the. But I got to go back to what I keep on saying. And we have still kept the American electorate ignorant. Education should not be as in a crisis the way that it is right now in America. I've got to continue to say that. The reason why we're in the mess is because what we're talking about, the majority of Americans are not talking about because they're ignorant to it.
Exactly.
That's why President Obama can go on David Letterman and Nightman and all the night shows and get elected to office, not saying anything and nobody questioning who he is, what he's going to do, and where he's going.
Well, but Tracy, there's two things on that. I don't know if this you had a dream of this utopian society where all of its or a good majority of its subjects are you know, some type of masters in politics and they understand all of the issues. I mean, that's just not going to happen anywhere. It happens in no societies where the masses can just run off how every part of the government works and all the particulars about this and the particulars about that. I mean, where do you get this idea that that's, you know, that that's going to happen?
What I'm saying is, if the American electorate does not begin to educate itself, it will continue to dumb itself down with reality television until it's no longer existent. Because, see, I happen to like the America that I live in as bad as it is. And I'm not trying to become something that I'm not. I like the freedoms of America. And right now we are going into a situation that we're not paying attention to because we are watching reality television.
Well, that's America, though.
No, that's not America. That's somebody else's America, because as long as we're ignorant, they can control us.
But America requires a good majority of its people to be ignorant.
So why does it have to begin with me?
You have, huh?
So why does it have to begin with me and my community?
Well, it doesn't have to begin with you. It just
so why
happens.
Is it?
What do you mean? Now that's we know why the black community. We're going to disagree why it is the way it is. Me and you are, but. I mean, the history can lay that out, so we don't even have to, you know, argue about that.
So my question is, why is it that we have people, going back to what Cornel West said, and again, I don't agree with all that he said, but going back to what Cornel West said and going back to what Tavis Smiley and them are saying, we are still not holding anyone to task. We are not talking about what's going on in the inner city. We've got talking heads like Melissa Harris and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson carrying some water for us, and they're getting ready to take us off the proverbial cliff.
Well, black folk been off the cliff, so.
If Cornel West and Tavis Smiley had got Barack Obama to do what they wanted him to do, oh my, you're talking about 100% straight up socialism in America.
You're right.
That's what he wanted.
We understand that, but my question is, but why not hold him accountable? Because heck, we're voting for him and still not getting anything from it. Well, how do you spend $17,000 per pupil on a student and still not have an education?
If it were a business, it'd be closed.
Do we understand that? And
yeah.
Actually, all the levies that came on the ballot this past year for education passed. How do you continue to do that?
Because the public education system is not about the business of educating children.
People.
It's about creating middle class white jobs.
But again,
exactly.
So tell me, why is it that black America is still going to school?
Take these glasses off. The public education is not about educating children.
So what's it about?
Creating middle class white jobs.
so why? So hold on. If I'm not mistaken, you and I, we are in control of the school board. We have a majority right now. We got a majority black school board members and a school board and the superintendent is black.
The majority of the school boards do not determine the curriculum
and the direction of the public school system. You're missing the point. If I can pass a tax levy to pay this $17,000 per student, why am I allowing them to allow my students to go into school and walk out without an education?
Because, Tracy, like we keep on saying, school is not there to basically make you self-sufficient. It's there to be dependent, to have a job, and to work for somebody. That's what
school
is for.
So why am I allowing it to happen? That's the question.
You're not allowing it to happen. What
yes,
do you mean
I am.
Why you're allowing it to happen?
Yes, I am.
You're allowing it to
happen. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Yes, we are. Hey, listen, you're allowing it to happen. You're allowing it to happen because when Al Sharpton gets up on TV and says something, and you can get 30,000 blacks to march in the street on Al Sharpton, can't we get 30,000 people to 30,000 black people to march because little Johnny can't read in the 10th grade?
That's the point.
Well,
see, you can go down there with Trayvon Martin, but you can't stop the drugs coming into your own city and the killing going in your own streets in broad daylight. See,
yeah,
I got to go back to that.
Cities. It's because we don't have any ownership in our cities. That's why.
Right.
But why not?
That's what I keep saying, Trey. It's almost like, I don't know, you've been knocked in the head with something.
Why not?
What do you mean? Because you're not supposed to.
But why don't you take it over? You have the numbers.
Who did this?
You have the numbers. 398, your mic is on.
If Barack Obama can get 99% of the vote in some precincts, why don't you got the numbers?
There ain't no way.
No.
You can do it.
No.
At 398, turn your TV down. Your mic is on.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Hey, I'm calling from Youngstown. I tell you what, I was born in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. I'm a 62-year-old white male. Spent a lot of years on the road playing music. I'm a bass player, played jazz and blues clubs. What's happening to the and I've lived with and worked with black people my whole life. And let me tell you something. What's happening in the black community? It's a sin. If this was happening to Italians, we would be out in the streets overthrowing this federal government. The federal government started 40, 50 years ago. And not only dumb down black people, but trap them, enslave them in dependency. And they did it on purpose, man. The socialists did it on purpose. Now they got the black community by the coup rats, and they vote for them 100%. It's just stunning. I talk to black people all the time, and, you know, when you ask them questions about what they want out of their life and what they think government should do, they're all libertarians. If anybody in America should be fearful of large, powerful government, it should be black people. And here you guys just, you know, I found your station by accident. I'm going to tell you what, you're brilliant.
Amen, brother. Libertarian it is. Amen.
I mean, she's brilliant. I love this show. You got the best talk radio show going because you take a libertarian, conservative attitude about what's wrong with America, and you're not afraid to put black people in their place. I mean, I hear some callers calling, and I just think, my God, think this through. Look what the drug war's done to black men. Look, I mean, come on, man. This is your federal government at work. Wake up. White people didn't put you into poverty in America. It's the white government.
No.
Yeah.
And that's where
this has been a concerted effort over the last 50 years. And don't think that the Democrats didn't know what they were doing. They knew it was going to take a long time. Khrushchev said in 1962, before Kennedy died, he talked to Kennedy and said, communism will defeat you from within, because he saw the welfare state coming and he knew. And damn if he wasn't right.
The Great Society.
And also President Johnson said those N words will have them voting for us for the next 200 years.
Right, because of the war on poverty. What did the war on poverty give us?
More poverty. What did the war on drugs give us? More drugs. I'm telling you, man, people in this country, I'll tell you what, there's states talking about secession. They've got a million vote signatures on ballots. We're headed towards a civil war in this country because people like me ain't going to take it much longer. I've had it. And
you can't
I think it's libertarian.
To.
Huh?
You can't afford,
can't afford to. What?
And
we
that,
can't
and
afford
what they're
not
saying,
to.
And what they're saying is, and what's not true is, they're saying the reason why people want to secede from the union is because of racism, because you've got a black man. It's not about the color of his skin. It's about the color of his policies.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I'm telling you what, the Tea Party, I went to a lot of Tea Party rallies. It had nothing to do with social issues, and it had nothing to do with race. It all had to do about economics, man. I'm scared. You know, I'm not scared for me. I'm not scared for my children because they're doing okay. I'm scared for my grandchildren because they are not going to live in a successful country anymore. And it's not. And the thing is about the Democrats, it took the Republicans 60 years of enabling the Democrats. And whoever said that the Republicans spend more money than Democrats, they do. Every time the Republicans are in party, government gets bigger. And that's why they did not win this past election, because we gave them chance after chance after chance to fix this problem. And now all of a sudden in 2012, they want to draw the line in the sand. They're 50 years too late. I'm telling
they
you,
allowed
I'm a libertarian.
Them.
I did not vote for Romney. I couldn't vote for Romney. I voted my conscience. I voted for Gary Johnson. I don't care if he didn't stand a chance in heck of getting elected. I have voted. In high school, I worked for Goldwater's campaign, and I saw what the media was doing to the conservatives, and I became a libertarian right after that because I saw what the Republican mainstream did to Goldwater and what the mainstream media did to Goldwater. And I became a libertarian. I have never voted anything but libertarian. These idiots in Youngstown area, these people, they ain't got a pot that you know what in, and they keep raising, letting the governments raise money for more school spending. Well, these people nuts? I mean, come on, man. Like
Youngstown has the worst school in the state, and I think we're paying around anywhere between $14,000 and $17,000 per pupil per year. And they still don't have an education when they come across that state.
Give me ten of them pupils, 10 of them, for $170,000. I'll put $120 in my pocket and give them the best education in the world. I'll do it in my living room for 2 hours a day.
Hold on, just a second.
How hard would that be to take 100 children at $17,000 a piece? My God, I'd buy them all a car upon graduation if I had that kind of money. Jeez, oh, man, wake up, people. I'm going to tell you what, when the first shot is fired, it's going to be at the media because they're the ones that have enabled the Democrats to do this. This was the most intellectually dishonest campaign I have seen in my lifetime and probably the worst since Jefferson and Adams. I'm telling you, this was stunning, stunning. The Democrats kept telling the same lies over and over. I wasn't a Romney fan, but I actually felt sorry for the guy. He was too nice a guy to fight the Chicago machine.
Hold on, just a second. I got a few more minutes. I want to pick up this last caller. A private caller, your mic is on.
Give that man an applause. I just had a call for that. Give him an applause. I appreciate him.
Oh, God.
You be quiet, Mr. Michigan man. I'll deal with you tomorrow. I'll be in there tomorrow. You, Doc, you call back again, and if you come see the Sensations, I'll buy you a root beer. You just come on and hang out with me. That was wonderful, and it was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, because this is on purpose. See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Jeff.
Don't hang me up. I'm just trying to listen.
I'm just trying to get us to really understand this. And Michigan, I love you, but I disagree. I believe that we're better than this. But we're going to have to wake up to what's better for us because things are not working as they should. Come on now. You got precincts in Cleveland who they voted almost 99% for one guy. If you can do that, if you look at the numbers where these urban populists actually put Barack Obama in office and you can't do anything about your own neighborhood, you're a fool.
Tracy, I you got a big heart and some big ideas.
but I think you, a couple things are missing out of your equation.
I think you ain't gonna
see him. But good
you
luck.
You know why? You know, hey. The reason why I'm not gonna see him is yeah. because I can't get enough folks to stand up and say, you know what, we can make a difference. Unless you can see yourself making a difference, you can't become a difference. And we need to become
Amen.
That difference. I'm going to tell the truth. I promise you guys, I'm going to tell the Republican Party what I'm thinking.
Good luck.
Because they need to know it needs to be better than a bunch of old, white, gray-haired men doing stuff, thinking that they know everything, because they don't. And it might be an epiphany to them, but somebody needs to come straight out and tell them, you don't know what you're doing. Because the rules have now changed.
You cannot run a gentleman's, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, a gentleman's campaign in today's society. It won't work. It will not work.
So I got a question real quick.
Yeah,
How come somebody can call in talking about Gary Johnson, they get applause, but when I talk about Gary Johnson, I get booed out the conversation?
Because you did it before. Look,
you talk too soft. You talk too soft.
and you ain't white.
No.
Oh, you know why? You know why they got on him? Because he's black.
Don't leave that one out.
Let me tell you something. The most dreaded political animal in America
That's
is
funny.
A black conservative or a black libertarian. They hate you guys. Cause they
why is that, Larry?
You're off the reservation, man. You're a turncoat. Look what they did the on the Supreme Court. And look what they did anytime a black conservative tells the truth about what's going on in America in general and in black America, oh, my God. Look what they tried to do to the comedian, man. What's his name? When he talked about illegitimate children and dropping out of school and stuff. They bury people.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, Cosby.
He knows that. Bill Cosby's not enough. Bill Cosby's not enough. He told the truth.
No, but they're trying to paint him like one. Because he told the truth.
Hey,
he had to back off, man.
Hey, listen,
I gotta go. Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll be right. back here. We'll be back
Thank
here at
you.
The same time. I still gotta bring Elmo up because they dogged my boy
right.
out and now they messed up Elmo. I gotta
I
go
because
God
show.
Bless you. Thank you so much. You're listening to Turning to Your Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We appreciate you. We'll see you on tomorrow. God bless and have a good afternoon.
Curiosity Shop, located in Campfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion.